attend the meeting due to today's meeting. Therefore, I hand over to the members to elect or nominate. Honourable Maluleka.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, everyone. I would like to nominate the name of Honourable Masiko as our Chairperson for the day. Thank you.
Is there any seconder? Over to you, Mama Solo. Oh, Makaula.
Sanbonani, Kamalami, Ngusibongile, Kaula, ngiyasekonda.
Nomination? In the absence of further nomination, I therefore call for Ms. Masiko to come forward to chair the meeting. I thank you, members. Thank you very much, honorable members, and a warm greeting to your good self. We must also send our greetings to the department and thank them for being present today with us. We also send our greetings and a warm welcome to the NYDA. Honourable members, we are all aware that this is actually a continuation of the meeting that we had held last week, Tuesday. We had initially called this meeting to deal with the NYDA annual report, but unfortunately for us, we were not joined by the department as well as the board members of the National Youth Development Agency. As a result, we had requested to adjourn the meeting and reconvene it today. So it is a continuation of the meeting that we held. We are not going to be having any prior discussions because we already had those discussions. What we will do is that we'll move directly to the team to present their annual report, and then afterwards we will have the engagement on the report. We are all aware, honorable members, that today is a good day for us generally as South Africans. We are coming from a very blessed weekend where our box brought home the Webb Ellis Cup. So the mood generally is a mood of winners. Let us congratulate them by giving them a round of applause. We are indeed a happy nation. This weekend reminded us as South Africans about our diverse nation, but most importantly, it spoke of unity amongst us as South Africans. So I'm sure that this meeting will generally bring that mood again, and it's going to be a happy meeting. I can assure you of that. I don't know, honorable members, do any of you want to take a bite on that? Honorable Sharif, I'll hand over to you before we proceed with the discussion.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick note, I don't watch rugby. I don't know the rules. I don't know the strategy. I don't know the tactics. But watching that game on Saturday was just so exciting, and it was so much fun. I watched it with my family, and, you know, we were all just screaming and you know, cheering for the Springboks. So I'm very, very proud of them to bring the trophy home. Honourable Chairperson, I wanted to ask, where is our minister and our deputy minister? Because I don't see them in the room.
Thank you, Honourable Sharif. I think that generally, let us go to item number 2 of the agendas that we are having in front of us. And item number 2 is speaking about apologies. So let us hear from the admin whether or not the minister and the deputy minister or any other members have submitted any apologies. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning again. I have received an apology from Member Hlongo, who's got a doctor's appointment, and the chairperson I've already indicated, and Member Hlengwa, she has joined the Portfolio Committee on Health on the public hearings. I have received the apology from the minister. She has attended the President's Investment Conference that's going to be held from 5 to 7 of November. Yeah, 5 to 7 in Johannesburg. Also, the Deputy Minister has attended the same conference. And also, she has other engagement as the Disability Awareness was launched yesterday. Disability Month Awareness, which was launched yesterday. Or the last one, it was from the NYDA. One of the board members will not be able to join the committee. Yes, she'll be late, yes.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Honorable members, those are the apologies that we have received. Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, at our last meeting, we asked, the committee asked for the staff to assist us to write to the minister and to indicate to the minister that she's required to be here for this meeting, particularly on the concern around the board members of the NYDA. So I find it very unacceptable that this is now probably the fourth meeting that the minister has missed. I don't think that's, you know, acceptable at all. Particularly when we asked for the committee to write to the minister's office and ask her to, so can we also get a report back whether that letter was written to the office and what was the response? Because the matters that the committee raised last week Tuesday were material issues that required her to be here to explain to us why she had written to the presidency on section 49(3), indicating that the three remaining board members have, you know, executive accounting duties, which is not what the section speaks about. The section speaks about an independent entity that should be, you know, appointed. So that is, those were the questions of the committee to which we asked the minister to give us feedback on. And the least that we can expect in this committee is that there would be a response to that question that was posed last week Tuesday from the office, and also a further explanation as to why she's not here again.
Thank you very much, Honorable Piti. Honorable Piri.
I was not on the platform, but I wanted to conscientize the House that we are still on an item of apologies. Therefore, the explanation that was given by my colleague or discussion that he wanted to start, I think it was not proper. Secondly, nevertheless, we have agreed in the last meeting that we need the executives to be here. But let us bear in mind the apologies, where they are coming from. Starting from today, everybody who watches TV will be aware that we have an investment summit, and it's important for all executives to attend. So on that item, Chair, I'll advise you to note that there are concerns, but we must not discuss further, especially on the issue of executives. And when the time arises on the issue of board members of the NYDA, we'll engage on that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Piri. Honorable members, I think we have received the apologies from both the minister and the deputy minister, but equally so, we do note the concern that we had raised last week, that now it's becoming a common occurrence for the executives not to attend the portfolio committee meetings. It is a bigger concern, colleagues, especially if we've got matters such as this to discuss. But today was not really the day to discuss that. I would recommend, colleagues, that we do call a separate meeting with the minister to discuss the issues of the executive of the NYDA and how we move forward. The letter that was proposed to be written last week was written and it was sent to the department. The PLO is shaking his head. Can we get a report from the admin as to what had happened and what is the progress on the letter? Okay. Colleagues, we are assured that the letter was written. We are assured that the letter was sent, but she is just recalling her records right now to check when the letter was sent to the department. But the department is giving us an indication that they have not received the letter, which for me is quite a concern, because the expectation is that when we write letters, you do give a follow-up call to check whether or not the recipient has received the communique that we are sending through to them, especially on a matter as important as this one. So we take that one very seriously. Let us just get assurance on whether or not the letter was sent, but I think let us not allow that matter to hold us. Let us proceed. Maybe we will give a report on the matter before the end of this meeting as soon as she finds her record, and I think they need to communicate and check who actually did receive the letter on the side of the department. Can we proceed?
Chair, I think let's proceed to the next item. But obviously, the apologies has been noted.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkweba. Colleagues, let us proceed with today's meeting. On the agenda, we will be receiving a briefing from the NYDA on the annual report for 2018-2019. I will hand over to the chairperson of the board of the NYDA and also request for him to introduce his team, because we are seeing some new faces. Thank you very much. Over to you. I nearly said honorable. So over to you, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
No, thanks. Thanks, Chairperson. good morning, honorable members, honorable chair, members of the committee, our acting director general, and the team from the department. I'll start where you've requested us to start, honorable chair, to introduce the team that is with us here today. We've got the chief executive officer of the NYTA, Mr. Wasim Karim. We've got one of the board members, Ms. Joy Maimela. As noted, Mr. Karim is right here, and then Ms. Joy Maimela, she's sitting just behind me. Next to her, we've got the Chief Financial Officer of the NYDA, Mr. Mkwanazi. Next to Mr. Mkwanazi, we've got the Company Secretary, Mr. Darcy. And so that's the team that we're with. As noted in the apologies, we've got Mr. Pile, who's writing exams this week, and has therefore sent an apology. As the honorable members would know, that there are three board members. If I may proceed, honorable chair. Chair, it gives me a great honor and privilege to present the annual report together with fellow board members and executive directors to this August committee of our parliament. Let me from the onset convey my sincerest and deepest apologies to the committee in that we were not available last time to present our annual report due to commitments that required our presence. While we apologized, we have been made to understand that the committee did not receive our apology in due course. Let me hasten to also mention that it has been an established practice that our appearance before the committee meetings have been led by myself and the CEO on behalf of the board and the executive management mostly as part of cost containment measures associated with traveling and accommodation. We, however, accepted the rebuke from the committee, and today we bring a full complement of the team, with the exception of Mr. Pillay, who has extended an apology due to exams. Honorable Chair, we appear before the committee in a somber mood since the passing of one of our most treasured assets as this board, who later became a member of this August House, and the executive, Ms. Pavel Lehlongwa, who has sadly passed on, leaving us completely devastated and limping with questions hovering over our minds as to where to from here, because in her we truly lost a genuine champion of youth development whose personal contribution has made the NYDA to be a formidable institution, driving fiercely towards a society that values its youth as its most treasured asset. Honorable members, this year marks a number of milestones within the youth development arena. The NYDA has come out of age, having reached 10 years of existence, which has seen the institution grow in leaps and bounds. We are forever inspired by the gallant and militant spirit of our fallen heroes in the form of Solomon Kalush Mahlangu and Peter Mukaba, whose youthful exuberance has inspired many generations of youth activists. This year marks 40 years since the brutal hanging of Solomon Kalush Mahlangu, who sacrificed his own life in order to free his people from the shackles of apartheid. His very last words shook the entire world when he declared to his mother, Martha Mahlangu, that, and I quote, "Tell my people that I love them. They must continue to fight. My blood will nourish the tree that will bear the fruits of freedom." Aluta continua, close quote. It is in this context and in honor of this brave patriot of our country, whose ambition was to be a teacher, that the NYDA bestowed the honor of naming our flagship scholarship program to the Solomon Mahlangu Scholarship Fund. This scholarship has this year produced over 500 graduates in various sectors, which mainly are in the scarce skills area. It has drawn young people from far outskirts of our country who today pride themselves as aviation experts, pharmacists, engineers, physicists, and a lot of sectors young people have been able to graduate. We found no other better way to honor the life of Solomon Mahlangu other than to ensuring his love for the education of the African child to become a reality. Honorable members, we have this year hosted a dinner for all graduates under one roof, presenting them to the country to see the work that we do in ensuring that we educate the young African child. Let me hasten to report to honorable members that those graduates are now employed in their numbers, and they continue to be good ambassadors of the program. Honorable Chair, this third board of directors has from the very onset set itself very clear goals and objectives. Since assuming this prestigious responsibility of presiding over the youth affairs of this country, we vowed to create a credible, capable, and activist youth development agency that is responsive to the plight of the youth of this country. We anchor this vision on non-negotiable values of integrity, honesty, excellence, and utmost professionalism that is embedded in respect and humanity, whilst at the same time ensured that will make NYDA an accessible institution. Honorable members, from the very onset, we understood the myriad of challenges that confront the youth of this country, and their justified expectation for the NYDA to be an institution that can bring hope and solutions to those challenges. We came into office in an era of worsening unemployment, grinding poverty, and increased inequalities that have engulfed our country as a whole. The youth being a very critical component of our country, we were acutely aware of the need to place youth development at the epicenter of the country's trajectory. The NYDA Act that was passed by this parliament asked us to mainstream youth issues into society and facilitate youth development within all sectors of our society, and we vowed to do just that. Honorable Chairperson, our lobby and advocacy has been loud and will continue to be loud. We decried the fact that while South Africa is a youthful country, the picture of youth graduates standing in street corners and begging for jobs was very problematic and needed extraordinary measures to be taken. This is why we shouted loudly that the experience should be scrapped as an entry-level requirement for graduates looking for entry-level jobs. Our cries did not fall on deaf ears, as the President of the country, His Excellency President Ramaphosa, listened and echoed our sentiments. We have supported and called for the scrapping of loans to students and for those to be replaced with fully funded bursaries, because we understood the dialectical link between the job market and education. When students marched and demanded free education, we supported them fully as the NYDA, and we are happy to have witnessed during our term of office and with intense lobbying the announcement of NSFAS subsidized schooling for post-matric and TVET students. We also lobbied together with South African Union of Students for the settling of historic debt that blocked many students from accessing following years of study, as well as graduates who could not continue to graduation due to owing university fees. We are still seized with challenges that face the education sector as a whole. Students continue to face infrastructural challenges. Infrastructure within universities and TVET colleges still create an environment of exclusion, as most students arrive in long queues only to be told that space has been taken up and end up sitting at home unemployed and without qualifications. We continue to engage extensively with the department on these issues. We are also worried about the state of basic education level, especially where reports of children falling into pit latrine toilets and some schools not having enough material to assist kids to complete their education properly. To this end, as the NYDA, we have launched a back-to-school campaign in January of every year for the last 3 years, where we visit schools in rural areas, assist to clean, paint, rebuild, and also provide extra learning materials such as study guides, calculators, and other materials that will assist those learners from disadvantaged areas to succeed. We continue to run this program, and we have extended it this year to focus on matriculants under a new flagship program that we call the Matriculate Free, which saw us crisscross the entire country, motivating matriculants to do better. We have also worked with partners such as NSFAS, various bursary schemes, state-owned enterprises, and various stakeholders to pay attention to matriculants who may struggle. To this end, honorable members, we are focused squarely on provinces such as Limpopo and the Eastern Cape, as these provinces continue to perform below par when it comes to matric results. We are confident before this committee that we can expect better results from the efforts that we have put in this sector. We said we will stabilize the organization, which came from a difficult period of a merger between Umsobomvu Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission. Today, we are proud to sit here before you, honorable members, to say that we have indeed stabilized the NYD. We have overseen a very difficult period of restructuring, which made staff members of the organization restless, but to the satisfaction of everybody in the end. Today, we have restructured the NYDA from a period of over 40% of the salary bill to a period that we are in of less than 36%, whilst even increasing our reach across the country. We vowed to employ the right people in the right places. We vowed to fill all senior positions in a short space of time, whilst ensuring efficiency, and we did exactly that. All senior executive positions have been filled with qualified people. We boast the youngest CEO in the country, who is a qualified chartered accountant. A CFO is a chartered accountant with 18 years experience in the field. We boast 60% of women in top management posts. We have 4 out of 7 senior executives being females. Our entire organizational organogram boasts close to 70% female staff component. And in addition, our recruitment drive has been skewed towards young females. Honorable members, in our quest to build an activist institution, the executive chairperson and deputy chairperson, as full-time members of the NYDA board, agreed that we will not operate from air-conditioned offices, but will rather spend 90% of our time on the ground visiting rural areas and townships, talking and branding the NYDA to the people. In just the last 2 years, we've visited no less than 70 areas, driving programs of facilitating information about the NYDA, and also motivating young people that tomorrow will be better than today. Honorable members, we've visited Libode, we've visited Lusikisiki, we've visited Mkandule, Springbok, Kuruman, Oltsoron, Zwelitsha, Wamhlabuya Lingana, Ulundi, Nongoma, Kwamaphumulo, Qumbu, Mutetema, Tafelkop, Jenfes, Bochum, Beggersfort, Ramashashane, Swaid Reinet, Bayford West, Delmas, Bushbuck Ridge, Sabi, Bujanala, Hesekwa, amongst many, many places that we've been to. We have seen over 10,000 young people through outreaches just in this last financial year between members of the board. Collectively, the NYDA has been able to reach over 1 million young people on our various programs, and we appeared and sponsored progressive programs such as the One Day Leader, where we also assisted the country to spot future leaders of our country. We have bought outreach vehicles which are daily going into the many rural areas of our country, talking to the youth and giving them information and hope. We have literally been an NYDA on the ground. Honorable members, we have vowed to increase the NYDA footprint. When this third board of directors took over 2 years ago, the NYDA only had 15 centers. Today we are sitting at 40. By the end of this financial year, we'll be having a footprint in all districts of our country, giving the youth, especially from rural areas, a chance to receive the services of the NYDA. Our programs have been skewed towards the youth in rural areas through our NYDA Goes Rural program, and this has yielded positive results. Honorable Chairperson, the NYDA budget has always been a contentious issue. The less than 500 million that has always been allocated to the agency is not nearly enough to address the enormous responsibility placed on our shoulders. There are 19 million economically active youth in this country, and the budget in real terms equals to 20 rands per young person per annum. However, with the little resource that we have been able to ensure proper accountability and set proper financial management standards that will not misuse and mismanage the NYDA budget. We have compelled management to ensure that every rand and cent is spent where it's supposed to be spent with proper accountability. This is why we are presenting an annual report that shows that not only did we maintain the clean audit for 5 consecutive years, but we have now received zero on wasteful and unauthorized expenditure. This is a culture that we'll maintain. Where discrepancies are picked up, will act decisively. We want a credible NYDA that enjoys the confidence of the youth of this country. And the only way to do that is if we manage the institution properly. We continue to promise this house of this continued effort that will outlive the current board of directors. Honorable members, our efforts to also celebrate and recognize outstanding young South Africans has also seen a program adopted by the president called Young Trailblazers, who annually become guests of the president during the June 16 celebration. Here we presented to South Africa the youngest Boeing pilot, which is a young female, fighter jet pilots, scientists, and other brilliant youth being honored by the president of the republic. We've also driven the South African Youth Awards, which also recognize excellence amongst the youth of this country. Indeed, we have challenges as a country, but even the most brutal storms does have a silver lining, and ours is to say all is not lost. Honorable members, we are also worried about the state of voter apathy amongst the youth of this country. When the IEC informed us that the youth did not come out to register in the first round of voter registration, we quickly dusted ourselves and went to the ground, crossing every province to encourage the youth to register as voters. The last registration round, though not where we wanted it to be, showed that our small efforts as the NYDA resulted in an additional 500,000 new registration being young people, especially those between the ages of 19 and 23. We continue to partner with the IEC to ensure that young people play a role in the affairs of our country, including choosing a government of their choice. Honorable members, whilst we call on the youth to come out and participate in strengthening our democracy, we also called for more youth representation in decision-making at all levels, including parliament. We said that decisions that are taken about us in our absence and we wanted representation, we're happy to see that even on this very committee, that the youth has indeed arrived in parliament, they have arrived in cabinet, and going forward, we want to see them in boards of companies, we want to see them as CEOs, we want to see them as mayors, etc. We're basically saying nothing about us without us. We, of course, became victims of our own success. Three of our board members were elected as members of this house, thereby leaving our board without a quorum, a matter which we have raised with the department and this committee. We do believe, Honorable Chairperson, that a speedy resolution to this matter will be of benefit to the youth of this country. We did not anticipate the effect of our relentless and correct campaign to have younger leaders of our country affecting us negatively as the NYDA. As I conclude the overview, we have also taken steps to play a role in youth development in the continent and across the globe. We are signatories to various youth bodies across the world. We participate as members of the Pan-African Youth Union, a body that coordinates the work of our youth councils and youth bodies in the continent. We have previously chaired the body through the previous board of directors, and we continue to offer our skills in the reform commission set up by the African Union to modernize and create a vibrant institution. Together with the Pan-African Youth Union, we have been at the forefront to fight against the attacks on fellow African brothers and sisters, and we play our role in an effort to unite the continent as it has passed the free trade area, which also we need to derive fruits as the youth of this country and the youth of our continent. We were at the forefront of the fight against gender-based violence, and we continue to add our voice in curbing this negative tendency that has engulfed our society. We are also participants in the Commonwealth Youth Commission, the World Federation of Democratic Youth and Students, the Y20 Group of Nations, the UN Youth Convention, as well as the BRICS Youth Forum, which I recently chaired and handed over to Brazil. Ours is to add our efforts in creating a better world, and that can only happen if the youth takes its rightful place. Honorable members, it has been said that no house can withstand unless it is based upon a proper foundation. We have laid a firm basis for the NYDA to grow in leaps and bounds as it faces another decade. There is a case for the NYDA. The NYDA must continue to exist. It must be built, it must be protected, and it must be preserved. It is the collective heritage of the youth of this country, and every single young person, irrespective of background, must benefit from the services of the NYDA without discrimination. Honorable members, I now hand over to the CEO to present the annual performance report to this August committee. I thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, let me recognize all of the honorable members, the board members of the NYDA who are present, and representatives from the department. Chairperson, today's presentation will go through a situational analysis of where the organization finds itself based on its annual report for 2018-2019. We'll review the performance for the financial year 2018-2019. We'll look at some of the communications-related activities of the organization. We'll review the financial performance, and we'll close off with human resources information of the NYDA. The Chairperson has already covered much of the situational analysis, so I'll just run through it. We achieved the fifth consecutive clean audit as awarded by the Auditor General of South Africa. Fundraising remains a key priority, which we adopted, and we raised approximately 60 million rand in donor funding from our partners. We ran an intensive voter registration campaign, which I'll cover later during the performance of the organization. We hosted the third BRICS Youth Summit as well as the South African Youth Awards. We developed the Integrated Youth Development Strategy, which sets out a detailed roadmap to bring the national youth policy of the country to life. We incurred zero fruitless and wasteful and zero irregular expenditure for the financial year under consideration. And we achieved 100% of all key performance indicators as approved by our executive authority. If we review our performance for the financial year, our first strategic objective is to provide socio-economic empowerment interventions and support for young people in South Africa. In this regard, we aim to support youth-owned enterprises through our grant program. Our target for the financial year was 840. We achieved just over 1,100. This is due to an additional allocation that was made by the Jobs Fund through National Treasury and passed to DPME to assist us in upscaling this program. We aim to support beneficiaries with business development services. Our target for the financial year was 18,900. We achieved close to 24,000. We exceeded because of the demand from young people and additional partners who came on board to support us. We aim to create and sustain jobs through supporting entrepreneurs and enterprises. Our target was 3,360. We achieved just over 5,000 due to the additional number of grants that we were able to issue. We aim to facilitate jobs through placements and job opportunities. Our target was 5,250. We achieved close to 5,500. If we break down these numbers a little bit, if we look at our grant disbursements, about 18% of those are being allocated, there's a split there between what we allocate to enterprises, what we allocate to cooperatives, and what we allocate to individuals. The majority are going to registered companies, with a minority going to survivalist individual entrepreneurs. If we look at our business development services, we offer a number of programs within there, being our enterprise development program, structured training, our rural development program, our market linkages, our mentorship program, and our voucher program. In terms of jobs created and sustained, the majority of our jobs comes from our grant program because that is where we invest the majority of our resources. But we also see strong numbers coming out from our voucher program and our market linkage program. We also show in terms of our job placements the differential provinces that were supported and the differential towns that were supported through the jobs placement program. So we can see where we are lacking behind and where we need to provide additional support and create more demand-side placements for young people. If we look at the grant recipients by sector, the majority of young people are still submitting business proposals for businesses in the services sector. South Africa's economy is largely driven by services sector. However, that being said, we're still seeing good upticks in terms of agriculture businesses and manufacturing businesses, which is two areas which is also identified as key high-priority growth sectors by the Presidency and the Department of Trade and Industry. In terms of where jobs are being created and sustained, again, it follows from where the funding is going, so the majority of jobs created is coming from the services sector, the agriculture sector, and the manufacturing sector. But you also see the potential of the arts and culture sector to create and sustain jobs. Arts and culture only received 6% of grant funding, but managed to create and sustain 16% of the jobs under the financial year under review. If we look at our job placements per sector, the majority of job placements are done in the retail and services sector. This speaks to a lot of the research that I presented in my first sitting to you, that young people need to find their first job in retail or services. We also see good placements through CETA apprenticeships and learnership programs and through our local government partners. If we move to the strategic objective on providing socioeconomic empowerment interventions and support for young people in South Africa, we took a decision to establish two funds, being a youth fund and a skills fund. The chair has alluded to the fact that the budget of the NYDA is small in context of South Africa's annual budget. So government spends annually about 1.6 trillion rand through its annual budgeting process. We receive about between 450 to 500 million of that budget, which equates to about 0.04% of the national budget, compared to, for example, education, which receives about 6 to 7% of the budget. It's important for us to recognize, and I think we heard in the minister's medium-term strategic framework or medium-term budget policy statement last week, that the country is not in a good financial position. Therefore, the likelihood of additional resources is not likely in the near or immediate future, given our physical position. In that respect, it's important for us to be able to leverage and raise resources. We therefore took the decision to establish two funds which would assist us in creating mechanisms and structures for us to be able to fundraise and then to be adequately be accountable for the money that we raise and spend and meet targets associated with that. So both of those funds were developed and project plans were implemented for them during the financial year. We've also made increased information and universal access very important to us as an organization. In terms of new service delivery channels that we established for young people, our target for 2018-2019 was 25, and we achieved 30. In terms of the number of young people provided with youth development information, our target was just over 1.5 million. We achieved close to 1.9 million. And then in terms of number of public and private key stakeholders lobbied to implement youth development programs, our target was 18. We actually achieved 33. We've just shown there a breakdown of our service delivery channels between the number of kiosks that we established, the number of outreach vehicles that we rolled out, the new satellite offices that were established, and the number of full service level branches that were established. The branches are by far the most expensive to roll out, whereas the kiosks are the cheapest. Satellite offices are generally entered into through rent-free agreements with local municipalities. In terms of public and private partnerships, we've shown the breakdown between public sector partnerships, private sector partnerships, NGOs, and international partnerships. Chairperson, we'll move to the next strategic objective, which is to facilitate and implement skills programs for young people. In this regard, it's very important for us to assist young people to be trained to enter the labor market. Our target for 2018-2019 was 67,700. We achieved just over 73,000. This is because we often receive high amounts of demand from municipalities, provincial government to run these training programs in differential town halls across the country, which very much assists us in increasing the target. In terms of the Solomon Mahlangu Scholarship Fund, our target was continued support and monitoring for first, second, third, and fourth year students on the program. It's important to note that on this program, during the financial year, the fee-free higher education announcement was made, so it was necessary for us to start realigning the program. In that regard, the Board of Directors has taken a decision that because fee-free higher education has come into effect and we run quite a structured program with NAFAS, we will start to support postgraduate students now because we know the number of postgraduate African students is quite low still and their participation in the economy is quite low. In terms of the split between job preparedness and life skills, out of that number about 55% was for job preparedness, about 45% was life skills. Chairperson, the next target is to create and produce information and knowledge for better youth development planning and decision making. Customer service remains a critical, important part for us. We get independent entities to run quarterly customer satisfaction surveys. We generally take the feedback from these surveys. We follow up on any poor customer service. We retrain our staff members if they are found to be lacking in service delivery. In cases of misconduct, we also implement consequence management. We also do follow-ups on service delivery to make sure that where there were service gaps, those are being corrected. We also plan to design a corporate strategy and planning structure aligned to the integrated youth development strategy. That target was met. Together with our department, we reviewed the monitoring and evaluation framework and aligned it to the integrated youth development strategy. That target was equally met. That M&E framework was approved by Cabinet during the 2018-2019 financial year. The next program is the National Youth Service Program. In that regard, NYDA's function in the National Youth Service Program is to co-fund activities with implementing partners, is to establish best practice and norms and standards, is to monitor and evaluate programs, and is to ensure that the recruitment and guidance of young people is done in a correct manner. We also run the soft skills component of life skills training to young people in National Youth Service Programs. During the financial year, we set a target of establishing protocols, procedures, and coordination for national, provincial, and local government on National Youth Service Programs. We achieved that target. We also wanted to facilitate the development of annual plans by government departments for 2019-20. We played a key role and we met that target during the financial year. We wanted to register 60 National Youth Service projects. We managed to achieve 63. This is due to additional government departments coming on board. We've given just a listing of all of the National Youth Service projects that met the criteria for National Youth Service projects that were registered during the course of the financial year. We also aim to engage young people enrolled and participating in NYS Category 1. So Category 1 is a program which is a paid stipend for young people. It is a community building project. It has social cohesion elements attached to it. It has a minimum hours of service a week. And it's actively monitored and evaluated. In 2018-19, that target was 5,000. We achieved close to 6,000. That's due to additional partners that are willing to come on board and co-fund with NYDA. Honorable members will be aware that the president in the State of the Nation committed to this program being taking in an additional 50,000 young people per annum. Categories 2 and 3 expanded volunteer programs are the same as Category 1 except for the fact that they do not contain a paid stipend and they don't have minimum service hours attached to them. In that regard, our target was 50,000 for the year. We achieved close to 52,000. We've given a breakdown of Category 1 programs in terms of each province. The majority of the support is coming from the Limpopo province. We've also given a breakdown of NYS Category 2 and 3 projects in terms of the provincial breakdown. If we move to communications, we've given honorable members in the annual report beneficiary stories as they relate to grants. You'll see that there are many young people who are running their own service businesses, retail businesses, agricultural businesses. And the really commendable thing here, Chair, is the number of success stories that we see. You know, the young people that are hustling for themselves, that are taking what is not huge amounts of money, between 50,000 and 100,000 rand, and really taking their enterprises to the next level. The NYDA provides detailed aftercare for 2 years post disbursement of funding to make sure that these enterprises are sustainable in nature. Chairperson, the executive chair of NYDA alluded to the Solomon Mahlangu Scholarship Fund. And this was initially a pilot program when it was conceived in 2014 to show government the benefits of providing fee-free higher education to rural, poor, young students. And an important component of the scholarship fund is not only the full tuition coverage plus accommodation plus meals plus textbooks that are covered, but it's also the element of continuous mentorship to make sure. We still see many young students in higher education struggling with health-related issues, struggling to complete 3-year degrees within the minimum time frame. Young people, we see the scourge of gender-based violence on our universities. So through mentorship, we were able to show huge improvements on these students completing their degrees within time, of staying away from poor health-related activities. And I think that's really been a huge achievement of this program here. And we've handed over those findings to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme so they can start to implement. And it's not mentorship that costs a lot of money. Most of this mentorship is peer-to-peer. And it just shows the value of support systems at universities and TVET colleges for young people. We've also shown some of the benefits of the NYS program and some of our beneficiaries. Our research suggests to us that a young person participating on a volunteer program who receives recognition of their service stands almost an equal chance as a young person having a graduation certificate in being able to find permanent employment. We also support, mainly in rural areas, cooperatives, and we've given some success stories on cooperative businesses that we funded during the financial year. Accessibility remains a huge issue for the organization. We show here some of the outreach vehicles that we've purchased. These are able to go into deep-lying rural areas. They're equipped with Wi-Fi so that we can take applications from young people directly when we go to rural areas. For example, one area we've identified is that young women have less capacity to be able to visit NYDA branches. So we run specific programs for young women. We know the challenges of young people with disabilities, and therefore it's important that we take government services to young people and not always expect them to come to our offices. We've also installed information kiosks. We started the rollout at many of our branches. That means if a young person comes after hours, they can download application forms so that they don't have to make continuous trips back and forth to the NYDA. We launched some new offices. That's the Impangeni Full Service Branch. It would be wonderful if honorable members can visit some of these service centers of the NYDA to see the young people receiving services, to understand the challenges of the organization, but also to see some of the major successes that we are able to achieve. We receive positive feedback on social media, not to say that we don't receive negative feedback. Where we do receive negative feedback, we have a communications team who responds to young people who lodge comments, who lodge complaints on social media, and we follow up on these and we try and assist young people as far as possible. Chairperson, key events that the NYDA hosted or partnered on during the financial year. One partnership that we are particularly proud of is the NYDA National Student Financial Aid Scheme Partnership. Out of the 600,000 young people who registered for NSFAS in the past financial year, 180,000 of them did so through NYDA centers. NSFAS only has a head office in Cape Town and therefore needs infrastructure to be able to roll out its program. This is a key area which is showing where government is not duplicating services and not duplicating work. In addition, we create job placements for young people who run through internship programs the application process for NSFAS for the 4 months between September and November every year. And I think NSFAS also released the announcement this year that there's still a lot of applications coming through, especially through NYDA centers. As we also know, 2019 was an election year for South Africa. We consider it an important part of our duty to, as part of social cohesion and national service, youth service, to run voter registration campaigns. We hosted our largest ever voter registration campaign in the build-up to the final registration weekend, in collaboration with the Independent Electoral Commission. It was done under the National Youth Service Program, and we really believe in peer-to-peer campaigns, young people talking to other young people about the importance of democracy. And I think we really saw the benefits of that push. I think we reached magnitudes of young people in the two-week process that we ran for voter registration. We reached over 1 million young people, and on the final registration weekend, out of the 700,000 registrations that were done, 500,000 were young people. Chairperson, we also assumed the chairship of BRICS from 2018 to 2019. The NYDA plays a key role in BRICS youth in terms of establishing linkages between young people in South Africa and young people in BRICS countries. We lobbied for two key positions or policy positions. One was the establishment of a full BRICS youth secretariat that oversees implementation of resolutions and communications to young people so that we continue with the message of nothing for us without us. I think we've been very successful in establishing the New Development Bank as an alternative to the IMF and the World Bank. As we know, BRICS is also in a position where they're establishing a ratings agency, and we think a BRICS Youth Secretariat is a good position that can provide benefits to young people, can provide learnings between the countries within BRICS. We also represented for a youth working stream within the BRICS Business Council, which was achieved, which means young people now have a proper working stream that they can access on the Business Council, which is one of the more effective big structures which exists between the countries. Chair, I want to hand over, please, to the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Mkhwanazi, who will go through the financial performance highlights.
Thanks, CEO. Greetings to the Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members. I will then go through the highlights of the finances of the NYDA. So, in our financial statements, our revenue increased by 12% from 459 million to 514 million, mainly due to an increase in donor funding and the once-off 31 million grant that we had received as a donation from the Jobs Fund. Operating expenses increased by 8%. Grants disbursed increased by 7%. As I had mentioned, it was due to the additional grant funding that we had received from the Jobs Fund. NYDA generated a surplus of about 20.7 million, but of that surplus, we already had we had capital commitments of about 19.7 million. The agency remains a strong going concern as assessed by its healthy financial and liquidity positions. And then I would like to take the honorable members just at a high level the breakdown of our actual expenditure versus what we had budgeted for by programmatic area. So obviously on economic participation, the budget allocation was about 73.8 million. We were slightly above the spend, and this is mainly due to particularly the demand and the need on economic participation. We were at 75 million. That took us to about 103%. Education and skills development was budgeted at 44 million, and actual expenditure was 43 million, which got us to about 99%. National Youth Service, We had a budget of 30.4 million against 29.5 million, and that gave us about 97%. Universal access to opportunities, and that's obviously trying to get to young people through the opening of full service branches and service centers. that was 44 million budgeted for, and actually we met the budget at 44 million, so that was 100% spent. Research and policy was budgeted at 7.1, we were at 7.3%, that's slightly 102% spend. On administration, also it was at 100%, and we spent about 102 million rands. Employee costs were budgeted at 178 million, and we did actually spend in accordance with what was budgeted for at 178, which gave us 100%. And then CAPEX and depreciation was budgeted at 28 million. We actually ended up spending about 23 million, which is about 82%. And overall, the total expenditure against budget was about 99%. On donor funding, so obviously we have classified the amount that we received, which is the grant, of the 31 million, we've actually allocated it under donor funding because we had to go and lobby for the funds so that we could be able to allocate it onto the grant. So obviously our annual financial statement will show a 31 million rand donor funding, because that the other 31 million is actually sitting at the top as a grant, because we would have received that by, from Treasury through DPME. But so it's the 31 million from the Jobs Fund. We received some donor funding from Services CETA of about 11.1 million. The Department of Arts and Culture through the Young Patriots Program of about 9.2 million. The IDC 3.7 million. BRICS Youth for the BRICS Youth Summit, it was 2.8 million. And then the KwaZulu-Natal Economic Development, Tourism and Environmental Affairs, it was 2 million to also assist in the grant program. And then the Flemish government actually gave us 1.6 million. And then NSFAS gave us about 446 million. This gives us a total of 62 million, but as explained, it's actually 31 million from other donor funds, and the other 31 million actually comes from the Job Fund. So in the financials, it's actually reflected on the on the actual grant that we receive from Treasury and DPME. The split between projects versus operations versus employee costs, you will notice that we are still spending more of our budget on projects. So 43% of it is practically projects, whilst 21% is operation and then 36% is employee costs. Then I'll hand back to the CEO on the human resources overview. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. The first slide just displays our HR overview in terms of executive management, senior management, professionally qualified, skilled technical, semi-skilled, and undefined staff members. So that's in terms of males, then in terms of females as well. If we look at the breakdown of our structure, in terms of executive management, we have about 57% females and about 43% males. Senior management, we're not doing that well. We have 67% males and 33% females, although we have taken a decision that all senior managers to be recruited within the agency must be female to bring that back to alignment. In terms of gender balance, overall, 54% female, 46% male. In terms of training spend for the NYDA, we spend about just over 6 million rand, which is about 3.4% of our personal expenditure, and about 14,800 rand per employee on training for HR-related purposes. Chairperson, that brings us to the end of the presentation. Kaliboha.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, CEO, CFO, and your team for putting together the presentation and presenting it to us. I will now give an opportunity to the department, DPG, if you have any remarks to make. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think we don't have any remarks at this point, but we support the presentation that has been made by the NYDA. In fact, we commend them for excellent work that has been done, the achievement of targets and the clean audit. So I think it's something to be emulated. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. Members, the report has been presented to us and is before us. I will now give you an opportunity to ask questions, make comments or engage with the document. I see you, Ma'am Joyce. Honorable Pitti, Honorable Sharif, Honorable Gweba, Honorable Mamtutu, Honorable Ngobo, Honorable Piri, your hand was asked right, yes, Honorable Piri. Yes, let's start with you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I would also appreciate the presentation by the NYDA and also to appreciate the good work that they are doing. And I just hope they will keep on doing this good work. But, Chairperson, my concern is only on the achievement of their targets. I don't know whether you are under targeting yourself, because if you check in each and every KPA, you have overachieved. And I'm not sure, even though the reasons that they are giving, that there were many departments who came for them for training of their employees, their youth employees, but I just want to find out, if you overachieve, does this have any impact or implication on your budget? Can I just get that response on that one? But on other issues, I'm happy about your work. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think firstly, we welcome the report and also to congratulate the NYDA on a very good performance meeting all your targets and a great audit outcome. So congratulations. I think it's very encouraging. Just a few, three or four questions that I have. The first one is, the CFO spoke about donor funding that was received. You know, when I read the document, it's 60 million rand. And, you know, what is reported is 31 million rand. So just an explanation of why is the other amount not there. I just want an update on the report on the conflict of interest on the two procurement issue that involves supply chain, the amount of 164,000 rand. I'm just also interested in the relationship of the NYDA with the department and how has that been working. You know, I'm just trying to see whether there's any type of synergy in terms of the strategic goals of the department versus what the NYDA is trying to do. Because it seems to me I don't know if the relationship is existing or if it still needs to be cultivated. And then also on the board members, I understand it's not because of you guys that, you know, that happened this way, but I'm just interested from your understanding where is the process in terms of you know, what the minister has said in regards to Section 49.3. I think she had written to you guys as well. So I just want to get some clarity on that. And I think the last thing is just on Program 1, the administration. It seems to me as though, you know, some of the targets that have been set there are very, you know, there's no detail. You know, it takes me back to the other conversation we had at the last committee meeting to say that the targets are not detailed enough. And so, you know, it does kind of make it easy to meet these targets. You know, so I just wanted to know what is the process in which you guys are following in terms of making the targets clear and detailed. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Again, congratulations to the NYDA on their performance. CEO, you spoke about gender-based violence on campuses, and I think those of us who come from student politics and has graduated not so long ago know that rape and GBV is rife on campuses, and oftentimes the campus administration doesn't really put in place mechanisms that keep women and gender non-conforming people and even the LGBT safe, especially within races on campus and off campus. So I wanted to find out, does the NYDA have any programs that specifically deals with this, where maybe an interface between the SRCs and the Senate or the university administration to actually fight this gender-based violence on campuses? And if you don't have a program, is there something in the works that will help challenge gender-based violence and femicide, especially on campuses? As we know, young women are targeted almost every day, and I think the NYDA needs to look at this. Secondly, I just wanted to find out, are there any programs that deal directly with mental health, especially looking at campuses, at universities and at TVET colleges? Chair, I mean, I don't have to speak about this a lot. Mental health is something that we have to deal with. As a country, you know, we grow up in communities that almost want to hide it away and sweep it under the carpet and don't really want to deal with depression and anxiety. And oftentimes university students have so much stress, financial stress, study stress, family stress,
And so they go through a lot of these mental health issues. And so what is the NYDA doing to assist and make it a little bit easier for young people, especially on campuses? And I mean, as a suggestion, it would be great to look at psychologists or psychiatrists that, you know, you can send out to areas where young people don't have access to. And so I'd just like to know what's happening there. And if there's nothing, please take what I'm saying and maybe add it moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. And let me welcome a good presentation from the NYDA. And secondly, also commend them in terms of achieving their work as the board. And in fact, Chair, three questions. I know one question on the financial performance has been asked, the 60 million vis-a-vis the 31 million, and the, we want to understand, you know, the breakdown in terms of the 29 million that has not been presented by the board. Secondly, I want to understand how much has been allocated for the National Skills Fund, and what is the difference between the National Youth Fund and the NYDA grant program. And secondly, on the issue of grants, what are the monitoring measures are in place to assess the sustainability of the enterprise once-off loans, you know, for those funded young enterprises by the NYDA? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to welcome the report, and we want to appreciate the way they presented it. I have only two or three questions. I see where they are employing people. How many persons with disabilities are employed within the NYDA? Has the NYDA been able to achieve the 2% employment equity target for persons with disabilities? If not, why not? The second one, has any feedback been received from National Treasury to write off fruitless and wasteful expenditure as well as irregular expenditure? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. I have only two questions. Well, first of all, I would like to also commend the NYDA on their performance and for achieving the clean audit. My first question relates to the report that the National Planning Commission produced, which was titled the Youth Labor Market Transition Report, with specific emphasis on youth enterprise development, assessing the formally economy and supporting the social economy. Now, I would like to know if the NYDA has considered any of the recommendations that are contained in that report. And then the second question relates to what the Chairperson said in his overview regarding the cost containment measures by the NYDA. Specifically, the costs that are associated with traveling and accommodation for members of the board. What I would like to know is, what is the travel policy of the NYDA saying specifically regarding the flights? Are the members of the board flying on economy or business class? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Colleagues, there's a chairperson, Mam Kaul.
Ngiyabonga sihlalo ukuthi nami khona into ethi ngehlisa ngenews omunye iphathi yomsebenzi. Mina ngifuna ukubuza la ngikhona la ngicaphune khona la nithi khona nasemakhaya. ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi if nikhuluma nge-NYDA ukuthi ningake nisichazele nje ukuthi njengasemakhaya Zululand sendane ethize nabo siyabakwazi ukuthi sibabone nabo sibathuthukisa ngoba i-NYDA ngokwazi kwami nokubheka kwami igcina abantu basemakhaya besele. Ngibonge kumanye ama-colleagues ama abengenibonga kuyimanje akwazi ukubhekelela ukuthi abantu laba bakhubazekile ngabe bakhona nibayaqashwa. Ngishiso ukuthi labantu abakhubazekile abayouth bagcina bona sebeyibona besele ngemuva and banawo ama-qualification lawo kufana ngabe nabathatha. Kukhona ke laba abangiphatha kambi kakhulu emoyeni wami laba abanhlophe esigubo and ababizwa ngokuthi ama-albino ngibaboni bemelelekile ngoba nabo singasho ukuthi nabo siyacela ukubabona baba maphathi. Ngibuyelela khona lana ku-page 3 ngithi anginibongele lo zilo irigula and zero fruit less and wasteful expenditure although mina ngayimdlala engani indaba yephepha nje angizwani nalo ngoba iphepha niyalibhala nibuye nizositshela ngalo uthole ukuthi masibuya khona lapha yuko into njengekhalayo i-youth bata bami ifundile qedile ey'koleni imisebenzi ayikho asibone phela i-youth nikhombisa ukuthi nikhona niyayimelela emadolobheni isemakhaya asibabone laba bantu njengoba ngisho ukuthi manithi okay niyaye emakhaya mina ngizocela nje as mam khawula nisho ukuthi hhayi besiye enkandla bangaka abantu nikeze neprofeshoyo ngoba nizogcina senisinikeza mhlawumbe abantu abayifela kudala lapha emangcwabeni nithi namba ama-graveyard no sicela uzosho ukuthi namba bayaphila sibafonele sitholoba i-NYDA ngempela asikaze sayikhululekele. Okunye la engifuna ukuthi-ke ngikusho ngokukhulu khona la engibona khona ka nikhuluma khona nge-BRICS hosted BRICS Youth and Summit Third South Africa Youth Award ngabe uma ngabe lapho onke ama-province ayimelelekile noma abantu abathize enibanyulayo nibathatha nibafaka ngoba into mina ngifuna ukuyigcizela njeathiwa ngathi ngalelalanga ngize ngijabula ukuthi lo mnyango usulana kuthina ngoba bengivele ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi usebenza kanjani ngoba uthole ukuthi wena kuyona lo mnyango wena urishi nomuzo muhle nazo zonke izinto kodwa ekugcineni abekho abantu esibabona phansi bekuthuthuka. Sifuna ukubona i-youth isimama kwezemisebenzi sifuna i-youth ukuyibona ingenawo la matoyitoyi esiwabona egcwele emnyango and i-youth eningi izithathe ukuzibulala yabona into engiyibone njengoba ngihambele ama-university engibizi ayakhala athi siyafunda impela kodwa egcineni asinakiwe nisenza siyitholi asitholi lutho izinto esihlalo lezo okufuneka ngempela ma sebela kuthina bazi ukuthi sebehleli kuthina sizokwazi ukuthi thina singabi yiphathi yabo nalento zabo bayayibulala abantu manje i-youth nayo ngiyafuna ukubona nihambela nasemakholeji niyitshela ngama-rights abo ngoba bahlukene emakhaya lolu hlelo aluyinhlobo gcine kuxoxwa emadolobheni. Ngiyabonga.
Ndibulele Chairperson ndibulele ne-presentation okwam kuncane nje kuphela is the quietness of the PC Portfolio Committee on the issue of landless which is affecting the women because they should be advocating the women and forcing government that 50% will be reserved for the women. Okwesibini Chairperson ukuthwala ukungenwa nokuhlolwa the PC has no plan to stop such practices. Also again unemployment on our young people is high and number four and the last one there is no clear progress on the implementation of the Beijing Platform for Action 2014 to 2019. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Lamsonde, Honorable Thiri.
Thank you, Chair. Let me join colleagues in appreciating or welcoming the report and the presentation, as well as the overview by the Chairperson of the Board, and say we rejoice with you with your audit outcome for 5 consecutive years. Allow me, Chair, to pose few questions that is in line with the presentation. Maybe let me start with the Chairperson's overview. When listening to the Chairperson presenting or giving an overview under the human resource in the presentation of the NYDA, the Chairperson outlined that a majority of senior management are women. That contradicts with the presentation on its own. On the, I think it's slide 43. On that matter, I don't know whether I heard it correctly or not, but can we get the interface? Chair, we, since, if I recall very well, I attended that youth festival in Pretoria. I think it was 2011 or 2012. Come again? Yeah, somewhere there. I was part of it, as I'm still in the bracket of young people. Chair, the report shows us or outlines there's still an outstanding investigation on that matter. And I believe even the previous 5th administration was busy requesting the progress report of the investigation. And now we are the 6th administration. I don't think it will be fair for us to pose the question, how far with the progress report? But can we be told or be finished with a plan in place? What is their main objective? What is it that they want to achieve by not providing such a report? And what hinders them not to provide that report? Maybe they must just tell us what stops them to bring a report if it's their prerogative. Because you can't sit for more than 5 years asking one report that does not have a progress and it's not coming. Let us hear from them what will be the best way. Or let's just give them a rope to hang themselves and tell us, for us to receive or a parliament to receive such a report, what must be done. Chair, when I proceed, looking at their target, as already my colleagues has raised that, but I want to make it more clear to say it has a lot of questions to ask, as majority are questioning the target. When we make calculations, I'm not a chartered accountant, but it tells us that you are targeting 14,000 young people per province, which the statistics tells us in the country we have more than 17 million young people. Then what gives you that ratio? What makes you to measure yourself with that number? Why are you setting low target for yourself and then you over exceed? That is the question that I have to say. Really, are we? Why should we give us this? You give yourself this KPI indicator that is very low. Are we doing justice to our young South Africans who are eager, who wants to be somewhere one day? Chair, in terms of their raising issues that they are touching all provinces, all rural areas, but in real fact, That is my observation. There are even townships that does not even have access to NYDA offices. For example, I'll give you an example. I'm from Limpopo and Vembe district in particular. Musina is where I'm from. There are no offices. Offices are in Vembe district. And Vembe district from Musina to Vembe, which is Tulamela, it gives you, it's around 200 and something kilometers. For a young person who does not have money, who can't access that office, what are we saying? What is your plan to expand offices? You are talking about vehicles that you have achieved in terms of you doing outreach. I've been to Musina, and I was a councillor for the past 7 years. I've never seen an NYDA car moving around. It's not deep rural. It's a township. Therefore, it gives me a concern to say, if this target that we are setting and shining, as one of our colleagues said, these are papers, but really deep down, are we touching lives of young people of South Africa? Chair, proceeding to another question is that you they've raised number of issues to say they've achieved in terms of funding young people, young entrepreneurs and employment. But then my question derives from that, what about those young people who attempted or who made applications and they are not successful? What is their plan? Are they just rejecting them and leave them like that? Or do you have a program that assists young people to rectify or to be on the same par as those who are funded? And if we are talking about those who are funded, as much as I've outlined or I've shown, your target or is very low. Really, what is it? Or maybe outline, give us details, names of those young people that you have funded, and now what is their progress report? In the report also, they've indicated that they've written off a debt of a large amount of money. Then it means their credit risk policy, there's something wrong with it. What is the plan or program in place to overcome that? Even in a business world, when you are given a loan and you are unable to pay, if something will just you'll have a policy or insurance that will cover that amount. Your credit record, your credit policy, what does it speak? Give us a brief of your credit risk policy in terms of loans that are not cannot be paid back. Chairperson, the report is copied. Right. Remember, since last week we have it, and it has a lot. But I'll try to shorten. Chair, maybe allow me to come for a second round if you're gonna give that, but it might be. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Members. I think we still have time. Let us allow the NYDA to answer, and then we'll go for a second round. But before then, I think, Chairperson, generally, I hear that members are really expressing and welcoming the fifth-year clean audit from the NYDA. So we really congratulate your team for that. We know that sometimes we become afraid to congratulate and commend, because when you do that, then next year you come and you've regressed. So we're hoping that you'll maintain this clean audit, and we need it, 10 years in counting. Every time the NYDA comes back within this administration, we always need to hear those
praises on the clean audit. I also want to express, Chairperson, our, you know, condolences on the passing of one of your board members, Honorable Busy. We know in this parliament that she has been a true dynamite. You know, she's really been a shining star to us in parliament. And we understand and we really appreciate the fact that in every platform that she took, where she was deployed as a deputy minister, she advocated for young people, she advocated for women. And at this portfolio committee, we were really grateful for what she was doing, because you know that mining is a sector where women are really, you know, taking the back seat. So, Honorable, the late Deputy Minister really never left the platform without mentioning young people, persons with disability, and women. And we had, you know, we were looking forward to a great working relationship with her and the department that she was deployed in. CEO, in your presentation on page 7, you noted, I think you were talking about the economic participation, and you were looking at the grant recipients per sector, noting obviously that the young people are really flocking in terms of applications with services sector. I want to understand, is there any form of partnership or program or even an initiative that the NYDA is doing to stimulate applications on the other sectors that are not, you know, being targeted by young people? For instance, you are having a construction sector sitting at 3%. Arts and culture, you know, that's where young people are. You know, the film industry, the arts, young people are there. And is there any sort of initiative that we are having to stimulate funding for young people to support them? You know, you do have other structures like NFVF. Are we having any partnerships with those to assist young people in ensuring that they are, you know, assisted where they are located? That's the first question. The second one that I have is on slide number 11, where we are looking at young people trained to enter the job market. And there we are speaking about life skills vis-a-vis, you know, the job preparedness workshops that we are having. And I want to link it to the question that Honorable Sharif had with regards to mental health. I want to check with your life skills programs. Is it a life skills program to assist in job preparedness alone, or is it a holistic life skills program to assist young people? Because most of the time you are having young people faced with challenges, you know, social issues. You are having your substance abuse programs, you are having mental health, you know, just issues generally that are social in nature that do require a full-on program that addresses life skills in young people, not only to address issues of job preparedness, but to address the holistic development of a young person mentally, emotionally, and socially. Are we having those programs that are going out? On slide 13, enhancing participation of young people in the NYS program, and we're having a target there that deals with facilitating the development of annual plans by government departments. I think that target is very important, because you need to sit down with government departments and ensure that in their annual targeting, there is a target reflecting of their work with young people. So which are these departments that we are targeting? I see that we don't have numbers there, but are we getting the full participation and cooperation of departments, so that when their annual targeting is done, we are seeing a target specifically dealing with NYS and young people? The last one is on slide 24, and the outreach vehicles and the mobile offices. You've indicated that I think we have 6 mobile vehicles. Where are they located, given the fact that there's only 6 out of our 9 provinces. And are they, I didn't hear you correctly, CEO, are they having the full, are they offering the full package that our offices are offering? And if not, how do we ensure that once a young person has received half a service from the mobile vehicle, how do they then complete the entire process of application if they are applying or requesting for a grant? And they are not really required to move from Kandla to go to Empangeni to, you know, go to the office. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. And thanks to the honorable members for the comments, particularly the encouraging comments. And I think we do take note of what you're saying, and probably start by saying, Chair, that when we came in just over 2 years ago, we decided to set ourselves proper objectives, in the main being that we need to build a credible institution. We need to build a capable institution. But at the same time, we need to create an activist institution. So those three pillars were quite important. Because credibility, in our view, is one of the most important things. If young people don't see an element of credibility in the institution, it doesn't matter what you do. It will just fall by the wayside. So at the main, what we needed to do was to ensure that we commit management to creating a credible institution. This means, Chair, that the question of clean audits, performance, and so on, those then become non-negotiable, particularly with management, to say we expect nothing other than a high-performance culture in the organization. And we expect nothing other than a system where every rand and cent that is spent on the NYDA is accounted for. And I think we've been able to then put that system in place. And I want to assure you, Chair, that I don't think at any point we will sit in this committee and discuss a regressing institution and so on and so on. Of course, given the challenges that we now face of governance, which I do believe that there should be increased pace in which this matter is addressed. And I think we're putting it here for the committee to also consider. But, Chair, having noted a number of comments that have been made, and my colleagues, including Ms. Maimela, will also have a bite in responding to. I'll just touch on a few of them. The first one, Chair, we've not under-targeted. In fact, when we came in 2 years ago, our very first concern was that the NYDA was actually under-targeting. And in our very first financial year, we double-targeted. But I think one of the big things, Honorable Chair, and we've raised this thing in our overview, one of the biggest challenges that the NYDA faces is the budget of the NYDA. There's only so much that you can do with the budget. For instance, we came into office, there were only 15 centers that were mostly in your metropolis type of areas or in your town area. And immediately there was an outcry that the NYDA is not accessible from to young people. So the very first thing that we needed to do is to say, how do we create accessibility? How do we ensure that out of the 15 centers, we create more centers for young people just to be able to attend or access services of the NYDA? That has cost implications. We've attempted to engage local government to say, where possible, let's work together. There has been those that have come to the party. There has been those that have not come to the party. So as a result, where those that have not come to the party, and especially when the situation is dire, we've been able to say, let's spend whatever resource that we have to ensure that at least there's accessibility of the NYDA. Today we are sitting at 40 centers. We're just on 15 2 years ago. We're on 40. Indeed, we're not everywhere where we should be, but I think there's a move, there's an attempt to ensure that we reach. The mobile outreach vehicles that you speak about is another strategy that we set, that where there's a district center, let's also ensure that there's a mobile office that moves. Indeed, it's an office, Chair, I must say. State of the art. Inside the office of a business development officer, you have a grants officer. So generally, where a young person comes into the office, gets that particular service out of that outreach vehicle. But also another thing that we've done, we fitted them with Wi-Fi access as well. So young people, just by coming closer to the outreach vehicle, they're able to access Wi-Fi. So our targets have been stretched in as far as our budget is concerned. And really, Chair, we've also attempted to say, let's fundraise. Let's attempt to fundraise elsewhere. For instance, on Program 1, which honorable members have raised, we've set a target in relation to the budget, but there was an additional injection from the Jobs Fund. When that additional injection came, that target was obviously overachieved, because there was additional funding that was actually put into that particular program, particularly the grants program. So I think one of the things that we continuously say, we are engaging Treasury, we are engaging the Presidency, and I'm quite encouraged, and I must mention it here, that immediately now the Minister of Finance has also spoken about stimulus packages, and I think the NYDA has been identified as one of the institutions where there needs to be an injection of some financial resources. And the more financial resources we get, Chair, I can promise you now, it is our intention to reach each and every young person out there. But it's difficult. Like, for instance, in a branch like Tshwane, you can only allocate certain money, and yet there's a lot of young people that actually go. So the demand is quite high, but, you know, the resource is quite small, which I think also we ask the portfolio committee to also support us in our quest to try and get additional resources for the NYDA. The relationship between the NYDA and the department, of course, it's still a new department, it's still a new terrain for us. According to the Act, the NYDA has always been placed in the Presidency. In fact, if you look at the Act itself, it actually envisages the NYDA reporting directly to the President. But what has happened when we started, we were located in the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, but with a Deputy Minister specifically given a responsibility to look at youth affairs. Now, post our elections now, we now have a department that has an element of youth within it. Of course, women and people with disabilities. And of course, as it goes through its own, you know, setting up of systems and processes, we do have a direct link with the department. There's Dr. Tlhagala here, who leads what was previously called a youth unit. Now it's called the National Youth Development Branch within the department that actually deals directly with the NYDA. So there is a relationship. We've met with the minister on more than one occasion where we've been able to raise certain views around what we do as the NYDA. And I think generally so far, Chair, we do have good support from the department. On the process of the board, Chair, we have indeed highlighted to the department the situation that we find ourselves in. And I do believe that the minister actually embarked on a particular process, which I think honorable members have discussed. But in our understanding, Chair, the Act actually says that where vacancies actually appear, it is Parliament that must actually take over the process of ensuring that you advertise, interview, and replace. So to us, we are in a bit of a quagmire because it's not our process. It's not our process. And board members that have left us, in our view, we believe they've gone to a better place in terms of Parliament. So I would have urged the committee itself, Chair, through the department as well, to really look into this matter and probably advise us better. Because the more we delay this issue, the more the NYDA runs the risk of having governance challenges. Currently, we are sitting with some problems where we are supposed to take decisions and the board as it sits is facing a challenge. So for us, from where we are seated, this is where we think the process is, and we think that Parliament should also, and the department, take the lead. Indeed, the minister has indicated to us that she's written a letter to the Minister of Finance, that she's written a letter to the Speaker of Parliament, but this is as far as we know from where we are seated. But I think we urge that this process actually moves faster. On the issue of the two funds, Chair, the Youth Fund and the Skills Fund, we, because of the resource constraints that we found ourselves in, the NYDA grant funding program can only fund young people up to a certain level. That's why you would have seen even in our success stories, we've given young people 46,000, 34,000, 40,000. But there are young people that have got business ideas that are beyond the threshold of 250,000. And we thought, let's establish a fund. But in this fund, we'll actually engage provincial governments, we'll engage certain departments to say, invest in this particular fund, and then we'll be able to identify young people that actually have a bit of large-scale programs that will be able to be assisted by that particular fund. Indeed, it's been a year or so, Chair, but we've been able to leverage certain things out of that fund. For instance, in KwaZulu-Natal, a youth fund was actually established, which is linked directly to the youth fund of the NYDA. In the Eastern Cape, what is called Isikalo Fund, youth fund was actually established in direct linkage to us as a fund in the NYDA. I believe the Northern Cape as well is in the process of actually doing so. So we are lobbying provincial governments to say, here's a fund. Our role as the NYDA, of course, will be to identify young people, take them through our own processes, and once they are ready, they are able to access funding that is beyond the threshold that we've actually set ourselves. The issue of the skills fund, again, we wanted to collaborate with your CETAs, collaborate with various institutions so that we are able to develop skills, particularly for young people that are in your so-called NWET group. Young people who are actually dropouts, who are sitting in street corners. We actually get them, have a fund in place that will actually train them so that they are able to be not only employable but also entrepreneurs. They are able to actually start their own enterprises. So that is the idea behind the establishment of these two funds. And I think we are making progress in ensuring that we leverage funds. So as the NYDA, out of our own budget, we're not actually investing any money there, but we're actually going around actually fundraising out of that fund, Chair. On the issue of the gender balance, Chair, so that I clarify, on our top executives, which is your executive directors, your CEO, CFO, and so on and so on, we have actually, out of seven, employed four females. And that's a point that we're making, to say we need to start at the very top to ensure that there's female leadership. Indeed, as we go down into various other parts of the management team, we'll be able to ensure that there's females. But if you look at the overall structure of the NYDA, you'd realize that, in fact, our target has been not only females, but young females. I think at some point we even took a decision at the level of the board to say we will even, in fact, ring-fence certain positions purely for the youth, because we cannot go out around shouting that young people must be employed elsewhere and we as the NYDA have an old and aging face. So as the NYDA, we've taken a decision that we are going to advertise and specifically target under 35s, including in the executives. That's why the CEO is sitting here at the age of 31. These are the things that we actually try to do, to say we want to make sure that the NYDA face becomes actually useful. On the issue of the loans, Chair, and the CEO will probably expand on it as well. The NYDA, I think around 5 years ago, took a decision to discontinue loans and introduce grants for young people. Because our own research actually shows us that many young youth entrepreneurs actually fail within the first 3 years. And in the main, what makes them fail is the liability that comes with funding your business based on a loan. But the loans that we are talking about are actually Umsobomvu Youth Fund loans. Because when the NYDA actually came, it now had to inherit loans of the of Umsobomvu Youth Fund. And various systems were put in place, tax collectors, even to some point where certain young people even went to a point of being blacklisted. So when we came in, we then said, look, since the loans are discontinued, and most of these are actually Umsobomvu Youth Fund type of loans, we are taking it from here going forward to give grants. Any other issues that relate to Umsobomvu Youth Fund probably needs to be written off so that we actually move forward. So there's no loan of the NYDA that the NYDA has actually given out and actually written it off. It actually comes from Umsobomvu Youth Fund. Chair, and I hope Mamuka will not call now. Last card in Yenza, he overview ya. Njengabala zonke indawo esihambile ezasemakhaya. Uyabona inkinga nje eyodwa and ngingayivuma uma sivela la last time. Ukuthi kuzo zonke le ndawo esihambile asikakafiki emsinga. Kodwa ngiyacabanga ukuthi sisendleleni siyakhona. Kodwa sambe saze safika kwamhlaba uyalingana. Sambe saze safika kwaNongoma. Saye saze safika kuzo zonke indawo ezisemakhaya. Just recently in the last 3 weeks, Chair, we're in a place in Limpopo called Boho, where we actually went actively, dealt with issues of youth development, and also identified high schools. That there was a high school, for instance, Chair. This high school has never seen a textbook. And this high school is actually a small place. It's got a lot of matriculants. We at the NYDA actively went there, ensured that we gave those young people study guides, we gave them learning material, to ensure that we actually encourage them. As matriculants. In the Eastern Cape, for instance, last year, Honorable Chair, we went into a school in a village just outside of King William Sound. And that particular school, in fact, in one of the exam halls, there was a big hole on the roof. And with our National Youth Service Program, we've actually taken volunteers, rebuilt that particular school from scratch. That school, when we went in, Chair, had 30% matric pass rate. Last year, when the results were actually released this year in Janawar, that school had achieved 90% due to the interventions that we've actually made. So one of the things that we did, particularly from my office, we had a direct program called NYDA Goes Rural. It's even a hashtag. If you go into our social media site, every single program that we are doing, we have taken it out of the metropolitan areas. We have gone directly to the rural areas. And I'm full of time beside your mom, Kaula, with Sokubega, Siaye Makai. Kodwa nesifike emakhaya ke asifiki nje sifike sikhulume sahambe. Sifike emakhaya siqiniseke ukuthi abantu abasha lapho bayayithola iy'dingo ze-NYDA. Another innovative thing that we've done, Chair, is to establish a mobile app so that young people can actually access the NYDA from the comfort of wherever they're seated, because young people are on social media. And whether on Facebook, Twitter, and whatever, and they're able to access the NYDA on their phones. And one thing we want to make a promise to this committee, Honorable Peer, is that by the end of our term, the NYDA will have footprint in all districts in our country. That's a target we have set ourselves. That includes us arriving in Musina. Indeed, we have arrived in Vembe. You are right. We've opened the Thulamela branch, and we hope that that Thulamela branch actually goes into Musina, because our view is that we don't want practitioners who are seated in the office. We are employing what is called outreach officers, and those outreach officers must every day make sure that they are on the road. If they are not arriving in Musina, we must be able to visit that Thulamela branch and ensure that those things are happening, because that's exactly what we expect. We don't want young people to come to us. We want to actually go to those particular young people. The issue of the 2010 Youth Festival Report, Chair, of course, it was outside of us, but the last report the last information we received was that the matter still sits with the public protector. So the public protector has not released the report on the 2010. The last time they issued a preliminary report, but it was not our board. But I think at that time, I think it was still Advocate Tulima Donsel. has not released the report. I think what the portfolio committee could actually do is to actually follow up with the Office of the Public Protector on this particular issue. Where we are seated, we don't have it. Chair, last time when we met the committee, you'd remember, we came with a full list of all funded young people in the NYD. Every single young person that we funded, we brought that information to the committee. Because we also wanted to show the committee the patterns of how we fund, who do we fund, and where do we fund. So that information is also readily available that we can actually resubmit. Chair, what do we do to stimulate other sectors? The grant funding, when we came in, Chair, only went up to 150,000. We've transformed it to say, let's go up to 250,000 with a special provision that we want young people in the agricultural sector. Because currently, we know that agriculture can be a big job creation sector. And young people, by nature, they tend to want to go for the clean type of businesses or businesses where they don't have to get their hands dirty. So we now have a specific fund that will encourage young people in agriculture to actually come. And by the way, Chair, in a few weeks' time, we'll be convening all young people in the agricultural space so that we are able to address some of those issues. Young people in the arts and culture space, who agree with you, Chair, it's another sector that we've actually identified because we believe it's a sector where young people have got a direct interest. But also what we've done, due to the advent of the fourth industrial revolution, we're now targeting young innovators, young people in the tech space, so that they actually come with their ideas and we're actually able to fund some of the innovation ideas that we're having. And I think, lastly, Chair, so that I allow the CEO and others, we every single thing that we do is aligned to the PSMA. So that also includes travel and all those particular things. So what we've now done, Chair, we've actually aligned ourselves to cost-cutting containment measures of government, which means even top executives, when you talk about domestic flights, it has to be economy, even Group B type of cars, because we need to be able to ensure that we don't become an institution that is extravagant when else everybody else is actually talking about cost containment. That's why I even mentioned it in my overview, Chair, to say that we try to limit travel as much as possible so that we when we come, all of us, it actually affects our budget in a very negative way. So I think I want to assure that we actually align ourselves with various cost containment measures of government. I'll hand over to the CEO.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. I'll just try and fill in the gaps where Chair, because I think Chair's given an extensive response. So I think on achievement of targets, targets are generally set between October and January for the upcoming financial year, and I'm sure we'll present to you targets for 2019-2020. And we already start negotiating partnerships for the new financial year now already. So we try and factor those in. But partnerships don't stop. We keep negotiating partnerships throughout the financial year, and new partners come on board. We're able to respond, and it's necessary for an organization to be agile in nature, you know. That is why we sometimes exceed targets. But with that being said, we also do take steps to stretch ourselves. For example, jobs target that I presented now is 5,000. I said to the team, I don't think 5,000 is high enough, you know. And with no additional resources in 2019-2020, we've doubled that jobs target to 10,000. And we'll come and account for it when we do to the portfolio committee. So we are stretching ourselves as far as is practically possible to help and assist more young people to achieve economic emancipation. I'll let the CEO for answer the question on the donor funding. On the conflict of interest of the employees, so I just want to explain the process as it relates to conflict of interest. Each NYDA employee is required to make an annual declaration of any interest it has in other employment or in any business activity. When a procurement process is started, the supplier is required to make a declaration as to whether they have any relationship with an NYDA employee or any family member of the NYD. Now, when the Auditor General audited us, and the Auditor General has access to Home Affairs database and DPSA's database, they were able to track that there was an award made of a procurement transaction that was a relation to an NYDA staff member. When they are able to pick this up at a high level. I received that report and I handed it over to the Internal Audit Department for further investigation. And they indeed confirmed to me that that employee had made a false declaration and that they had not declared. Equally, the supplier made a false declaration. I then took the decision last week to suspend that employee from employment and to pursue disciplinary charges. I will keep committee members abreast of the disciplinary process, but management will seek the maximum sanction against that employee and aim to recover the funds for that false declaration. In terms of synergy between the department and NYDA, I meet with the Director General often. It's also important to note that in the macro reorganization of government, the official transfer will kick in from 1 April to 2020. There is a memorandum of understanding which has been developed and is being negotiated between the department, and I think we'll be happy to share that in the new calendar year. But certainly, I think there's deep synergies, especially as it relates to young women, young people with disabilities. There's most definitely synergies that can be unlocked, and I think a lot of them are already being unlocked. For example, finding young women entrepreneurs who are producing sanitary towels is already a venture that we've embarked upon with the department. So there's certainly great synergies between the department and the National Youth Development Agency. In terms of processes for setting targets, I think we look at targets at a macro level, we look at them at a meso level, we look at them at a micro level. Yeah? And these targets must comply with National Treasury's framework for preparing performance information. They must comply with the Department of Public Service and Administration. They must comply with the Auditor General's criteria to be specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. So all of those factors are taken into account in setting the targets. Yeah? But I think that honorable members are also welcome to input when we present our ABP for 2020, 2021, like you did when we presented 1920, to tell us where targets are lacking and where you feel there needs to be more detail. And we'll certainly take that into account. In terms of gender-based violence and mental health on campuses, we do good work with an organization called HEAs. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they very much do peer-to-peer work, and I'll let Ms. Maimela input on the question as well. So we do, and I think I take your input on psychologists for students. I think there was a young girl at the University of Free State who committed suicide over the weekend. May her soul rest in peace. You know, and we genuinely need more comprehensive measures to tackle. But I think in our next presentation, I'll give you a sense of the work that we do with HEAs so that we can also familiarize with what is already happening and how we can strengthen those that work that we actually do. In terms of what has been raised for the Skills Fund, the Services CETA has made a commitment to the Skills Fund of $30 million over three financial years. The Chemical CETA has also made a commitment, and we set ourselves a target in 2020-2021 of at least 10 additional skills development partners contributing to the Skills Development Fund. I'll also let the CFO respond to the write-off and the condonement of irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In terms of young people with disabilities employed, we are behind the employment equity target. I take accountability for that. It's not acceptable. We've only employed two people with disabilities, but I commit that over the next two financial years, we'll take steps to correct that and meet the target that we are supposed to. Please do. In terms of provinces represented at BRICS and SIAS, we ensure that in all of our events, young people from each province are represented. We also take specific measures that these things are not held in Gauteng only, that they are actually held in different provinces so that we also invest in local economy. Plan for accessibility. So we've set ourselves a target now of being present in at least every district municipality come the end of March 2020. Is that good enough? Probably not, because South Africa has 254 local municipalities. Is it realistic at this point in time that we have an office in every local municipality? Probably not. But that doesn't mean that's the end of the conversation. South Africa is, the one thing I've realized is that we don't have shortage of infrastructure. We have libraries and we have municipalities and we have, there's been so many. So, for example, let me give you an example. The Department of Trade and Industry has a program this year to launch 100 smart centers, fully-fledged, high-impact Wi-Fi centers. Now, our conversation with the DTI is, do you really need to go to areas where there's already NYDE infrastructure? Instead of you establishing a new smart center that's 2 kilometers away from the NYDA, why not help us upgrade the NYDA center? Or why not partner in a local municipality where there's currently no NYDA office? So there's lots of opportunities to extend the reach of youth development services in general. And we want to be able to present to you at some point a plan that says this is where in every single 254 district local municipalities where a young person can access information or services that can help them better their life. And I think that must be the target of this sixth administration. In terms of applications that are not successful, there's really two reasons why a potential entrepreneur who's applying cannot be successful. One is that there's just insufficient budget to be able to fund. And our plan there is to have a fund in every province that can at least meet the demand for the number of applications that we receive. Equally, it's not only provinces who must contribute, right? We spoke about sector development. We've had the same conversation with the Department of Small Businesses to say the Department of Agriculture needs to have a fund for small, young, emerging farmers. The Department of Tourism needs to have a fund for young emerging entrepreneurs in tourism. The Arts and Culture Department already has a fund called the Mzansi Golden Economy where young people can access arts and culture. And all of that is lobby and advocacy work that between us and small business we're doing. So there's a sufficient funding. Equally, the private sector needs to come on board. The big four banks will tell you that they don't fund startups because they're too risky. But in this broader social compact that we have, we must get private sector money on board investing in young entrepreneurs. In terms of loan debt credit risk policy, the chair has alluded. So the PFMA says that where you have a debt outstanding, you must take every conceivable step to try and recover that money. When we took over the loan book, when we'd done away with grants, we took a three-step approach. First, we met with every single person who had a loan with the NYDA, and we entered into settlement arrangements with them. We tried as far as possible to recover as much money as possible, and we recovered close to 50 million rand in the last 5 years on the loan book. Where people refused to pay, we instigated legal action against those people. And where possible, we attached business assets as far as possible to recover funding, so that the sheriff of the court could help us recover funding. Our only criteria was that we would never take somebody's primary residence because that was, in our view, a step too far for a developmental agency. Now we get to a point where we've taken legal action. We've done settlement offers. We've attached assets. The businesses are not functional, right? They've not succeeded. There's no money left to take from any of these businesses. So you get to a point now where you can continue paying legal costs, so you can throw good money at bad debt. And even then, we get an independent entity to come in and say, is there no prospect of recovering this debt? And only then do we present to the board a recommendation to write off. So really, we've taken as much steps as possible to recover government investments. In terms of sector-based partnerships, I've spoken a little bit to it. But for example, we also have an agreement with the NHBRC for a program to grant young people access to construction-related certificates. And there's another program that we've done within our voucher program that I think is going to have measurable impact as well. We've realized that compliance is a huge barrier for young people entering certain industries. For example, take a young person who's able to manufacture detergents and cleaning materials, and that young person can't have access to big companies, your Pick and Pay, your ShopRite, your Spar. They can't have access to those markets because you need a compliance certificate from the SABS to certify that your goods are produced in a certain manner and they are able to be sold in a certain manner. So we've introduced a voucher that specifically helps you with compliance with the SABS. And those vouchers are co-funded both by ourselves and the South African Bureau of Standards. And those vouchers are going to help young people get compliance to industries that they never had in the past. There's already a young woman that we've helped in the Western Cape that is now has access to market to sell her cleaning materials to bigger entity companies. In terms of jobs training and life skills and mental health, life skills is a comprehensive program. I think it addresses social aspects, it addresses the emotional aspect, and it addresses the aspects of work as well. I intend to present in our next presentation a young person's pathway through the labor market. And it's not always as clean as what we expect it to be. So a young person enters the labor market, and what we see is in 3 to 6 months, they zigzag in that labor market. Young people don't tend to stay in the same entry-level jobs as we expect them to for 2 or 3 years and then transition to a promotion. There's a lot of zigzag in that market. A lot of the questions we ask ourselves now is that we prepare young people for the labor market. But is employers ready for young people? Do they create conducive work environments that respond to young people's needs? You know, as a first-time job worker and you being in the labor market, young people sometimes run out of transport money towards the end of the month, and they're too embarrassed to tell the employer about it, so they simply just don't go to work. You know, are employers mentoring young people? How can we do peer-to-peer mentorship to ensure that where we put young people in the labor market, they're supported in that transition? You know? And I think those are important conversations that we need to have. Facilitating plans with government, dealing with young people. Our plan is that we must facilitate at least a plan with every national government department, with at least every provincial government department, and at least every metropolitan municipality. I would love for it to go to district municipality level, but capacity can be a challenge. But I think we must influence national youth service at all of those levels at a minimum. The last question I want to answer is, I think I want to answer two questions in one. It's the question around the National Planning Commission and the Youth in Labor Transitions Market, which we participate. We continuously engage the National Planning Commission. We've identified gaps in the National Development Plan as they relate to youth. And also the question around high unemployment amongst young people. So I think the truth is the NYDA is a singular organization, can't change the statistics around youth unemployment. But we can take steps here to amplify the impact over the next 5 years and change the narrative of young people. Yeah? So we participated in two processes that I think are going to set the ball in motion to change a number of things for young people. One is we participated in the 25-year review of government service. And I think Cabinet has approved the release of the 25-year review document. And we had a holistic and honest account of what has worked in the last 25 years and what has not worked. And some things have worked. We've created immense access to basic education and higher education. We produce 4 times the amount of black graduates than we did in 1994. So we had an honest assessment of what has worked and not worked. Equally, we participated in the medium-term strategic framework process, which sets out government's plans and targets for the next 5 years. And NYD has broadly based its strategy around three things, being economic development through youth entrepreneurship, decent jobs and pathways to decent jobs for young people, and the National Youth Service Program. And all of those three things found expression in the MTSF and in the State of the Nation address by the President. The President committed that over the next 5 years, an additional over and above the target in the NDP of 2 million young people will find job opportunities. It was about 100,000 youth entrepreneurs through that chip. Can I be protected? We'll support 100,000 youth entrepreneurs over the next 5 years.
Point of order, sir.
CEO, we are receiving our first point of order.
Ngiyabonga, ngiyabonga.
Portfolio comment.
Abo lana, afanele sikhulume ngento esazi ukuthi ayizokwenzeka. Yabo le msebenzi enikhuluma ngayo into engeke iziyenzeke. Ngona kuba sikhuluma abona nje ngicela siyeke le wena ngicela usipresentele ngalokho ukuthi upresident wathini no esikhuluma mampungela nama into engayicabanga kangaka.
Sure, Chairperson. I take it that we are all committed to the goals set by the 6th administration here. And I also want to say that we're not going to wake up in the next quarter and find the situation resolved. This is a 5-year plan. And I take it that we're all committed to achieving the ambitious goals set out in the 5-year plan, and that the portfolio committee will hold us and the entire executive to account on that. Lastly, the president committed to 250,000 young people enrolled in paid national youth service programs over the next 5 years, and we intend to make those become a reality as a social compact with the whole of government, the private sector, and civil society. I'll close there, Chairperson. I think Ms. Maimena would like to make.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. And let me greet members of this, Honourable members of the subcommittee. And in line with the sentiments of the Chairperson of the Board, welcome the motivating comments and also the constructive criticism comments. And pledge that as the board or the remaining members of the board will take those comments and build on them to ensure that the NYDA grows. Chair, there is just 3 questions that I will be responding on. The first one will be adding on what has already been responded on the gender-based violence programs. Firstly, that we as a board try to incorporate activism against gender-based violence and rape initiatives within all our board outreach programs. So when we are doing an outreach program in any area, we'll ensure that there is a day that is allocated to specifically gender-based violence and rape initiatives or activism against those 2 sketches. Secondly, we roll out an annual August month campaign and programs aimed at addressing the GPV and rape sketch, and also that is aimed at empowering young women. And this is a program that was led and initiated by the former deputy chair of the board, the late Honourable Bavelile Songwe. So we roll out this program annually, which is aimed at ensuring that we give support to victims of GPV and rape, and that is aimed at addressing and condemning the trend of toxic masculinity that we're witnessing. And also we partner with SEPs and various NGOs that specifically work on GPV and rape issues during that month or during this campaign that we run. But we also held LGBTQI plus and female student lectures in order to ensure that we have an informed basis of advocacy within relevant institutions. So we allow them or we give them a platform to inform the advocacy resolutions that we will go around to different various institutions to advocate, for example, on safety, on security measures that the institutions should ensure in institutions of higher learning. On the mental health campaign, the life skill training incorporates a module called mental toughness, which deals with issues of mental illness. And I hope that in the next presentation, CEO will go into detail in terms of what this mental toughness module incorporates. But I do agree with you that we take into consideration the proposal made on psychologists and the rest, and on us building a specific campaign that is aimed on issues of mental illness, because it has become an issue in our society currently, and we will ensure that we have such campaigns. Chair, building on the loan book the loan book, writing of the loan book, we want to just assure honorable members that also at the board level, we paid due diligence. After we received a recommendation from the executive, we also went out to seek a second opinion. So we got a second opinion that did a cost-benefit analysis that said it is actually more expensive for you to continue trying to get the money back. You're going to spend more than the money that you would receive or you would be able to collect. And as a board, then we said, better we write off the loan. So we did pay serious due diligence before we actually took that decision. Umam Kaula, just last month we went to Pongola. And we spent 2 days. It was actually a follow-up visit because we had went there in January in a very deep rural area. We had went there in January and we identified some of young people that we said were adopting them and were going to come back to check if the initiatives that we had enacted then in January have been implemented. So we are trying our best, and I do agree with the chair that we should try to go everywhere else. But the last one on the targets, on the targets that we're reaching, which we're leveraging on partnerships, it's in line with what the chair had raised in terms of raising or building a credible institution. Because now partners are attracted to work with the NYDA. They are now comfortable with working with the NYDA based on the fact that you've got your governance intact. So now you are an institution that everybody else is attracted to it. We're able to leverage on those partnerships so that we get more, we mobilize more funds and we reach to more young people. I think those were the only three issues. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think I'll answer on the two issues. One was the 62 million versus the 31 million. And then I'll also talk on the progress of trying to write off fruitless or to get condonation of fruitless and irregular expenditure. I think I'll start with the condonation. We are still busy with trying to make submissions to Treasury, and this is about fruitless and irregular expenditure of the previous years. So obviously we are in constant communication to actually try and get those condoned, but obviously there are certain requirements that you need to follow. You can't just write a letter and say, I just want it condoned. You know, you need to show you've done your investigations, you have dealt with consequence management, and then obviously then start requesting a condonement. And then on the issue of the 62 million versus the 31 million, I did try to explain when I was going through the presentation, but just to make it simple and clear, there's donor funding in our annual financial statements of 31 million. I think it's there, it's disclosed. Right, and then there is another 31 million that we had received through Treasury's Jobs Fund. I think we've been talking about the 31 million. So when we were preparing the slide, we were trying to show that the 31 million we got from Treasury through the Jobs Fund was also, we also classified as a donation as much as we reported in the financial statements through the grant. So because our allocation for the year was 446 million. Plus the 31 million of the Jobs Fund, we ended up with 477 million, and that's what we reported under the transfers revenue on our financial statements. But on the preparation of the slide, we needed to show that we had to go and lobby for the 31 million, which means that it actually, you can somehow classify it as donor funding. But if you take out the 31 million and you look at our audited financial statements, you're going to see that there's 31 million donor funding sitting in the income statement. And then on the transfers, which is the grant that we received, if you look, there's 446 million plus the 31 million that we got from the Jobs Funding. So if you take that 31 plus the donor funding 31, you actually get to the 62 million that we presented on the slide. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and CEO Joy and CFO. Thank you very much for the responses. Colleagues, I had promised that we would have another bite of questions or maybe follow-ups if you have, but I will request that because of time we keep it quite short and we really don't go to town. I'm sure that the NYDA will be coming back before the end of the year to report. No? Okay. But I think they have been able to respond extensively to some of the questions that we have. So I'll give Honorable Umam Mahau to take a bite because she hadn't. Umam Kaula has indicated that she does have a follow-up. And I think the rest of us are generally happy. So we'll have those two questions or those two hands that will ask questions that are going to be very short because we are under time constraints. Thank you very much. Over to Honorable Mahau.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all present here. I'm happy with the responses because some of my questions I was having are covered in the responses, especially around the APP input by the committee. It will assist us so that we're not proactive at the end of the financial year. It's then that you ask, why don't you go to that place? But what I'd like to know or advise, I don't know which criteria are they using in terms of visiting. Because if you look at South Africa and other provinces that are rural in nature, all of them need attention. So they are supposed to have a criteria or a principle that these are the list of the areas that you are going to visit, informed by these principles, A, B, C, D, E. I don't know which criteria that are using in terms of identifying the areas that they have to visit. If that is not in place, I'm advising that it must be so that when they are responding to us, they are saying, as per our principles, we manage to visit these areas. Because it is impossible for us to expect that they can go all over. But if they've got priorities of areas to be visited, informed by the principles that they have put in place, and we are convinced of those principles, that will assist the committee a lot. And again, I'm happy with the issue of maybe having some offices, starting to have offices in some municipalities, because you will find out each district municipalities are far away from local municipalities. It will be very difficult for local municipalities, the youth in the local municipality to visit. So the earlier, the better identify the rural areas that are far, the district municipalities that are far from, maybe start piloting from different local municipalities if their budget allows. And again, I would like to find out, there are policies that are sitting within different departments. For argument's sake, if you go to human settlement, they're saying 30% for youth project must be allocated. Do they participate in that? Make a point that at least there is, what is they are participating in terms of the policies that are focusing on youth within different departments to avoid maybe in duplication. And what is their working relationship? Because if you go to municipalities, there is youth departments, all of them, there is youth budget. Different private sectors, there is youth budget. What is the mechanism which is in place in terms of monitoring that there is no duplication in what they are doing in terms of the intergovernmental relation platform that they are having as NYDA? And again, I would like to know, when they are visiting, for argument's sake, your Vembe, your rural area in Vembe, whom do they consult there? Because there's a councillor, there's a local municipality, there's a district municipality. What informs their priority? Because there are people that are there that are leading at that level. Who knows exactly which area has got high rate of unemployment as far as youth? What is the interaction in terms of intergovernmental relationships? So those are the few questions. Thank you very much, Chair.
Ngibonga sihlalo. Ngiyabonga nami ngoba eqinisweni akulula ukushaya abantu besafika kunini. Uma kodwa uqala umbono ukuthi uza kahle yini, then besuthi umbono kanti bezenza umuntu ohloniphayo nje kanti akahloniphi, bese siyambhaxabula-ke. Ngithi angibonge la ngilana yabona ma ulalela indlela yama-plans abo akhombisa ukuthi sinazosisiza njengoba thina sisebenza ngomphakathi especially nangabantu abasha. Ngiyambonga umhlonishwa lami, uyakuveza ukuthi khona i-youth vese egcina sithatha ukuthi ibuna lenye sizangena ngisho kuyidakamizwa. Ngakho-ke mina ngifuna ukukubuza la, ngabe uma ngabe niya emakhaya nigcina nikhuluma namakhansela ngabe niyakwazi ukuthi neinduna namakhosi benze show babe involve ngoba uyabona lana if sikhuluma ngomasipala mina ngeke ngisathembela kubona kakhulu angisho amakhosi ngithembele kakhulu noma induna ngithembele kakhulu but omasipala bayabanye abanenkinga lo thola ukuthi la nina njengo NYDA nina iplan yenu ithi hambasane izinto ziye kwi-youth phansi uthole ukuthi izinto phansi kwi-aziya like njengoba ngizobuza nokuthi yini eniyenza to make sure ukuthi lezi mali ey'khishe ukuthi ayihambe ziyothuthukisa i-youth phansi ziyafika na ukumonitha isimo okunye lana bengithi ngifuna ukukubuza la sinalezi ngane la mhlawumbe uzokhumbula sihlalo la ngakhala ngokuthi sinenkinga ye-youth engasebenzi enye oyibona ukuthi ihlakaniphile iqedile ey'koleni isize ibe womakhenika laba abagcina bebizwa ngophephetha about ngeze ngachaza ngathi eDurban nabo thina la sikhona khona la ngikhona mna eDurban kunendawo ebizwa ngokuthi inki angeke ngakhuluma nomunye wathi labo bantu laba abakhanda iy'moto emgwaqweni kukhona uhlelo abafuna balenze babahlangane nabo bahlale phansi babakwazi babathakele amanzi babaqhubeke babenze ukuthi babathuthukise ngoba already bona ke sithi la mhlambe nina ningomakhenikhani u-4-5 niyakwazi ukugcina seniqasha abantu abaningi ngabe ninalo ndolohlelo ukuthi labo bantu bathuthukise kulezo ndawo abakuzona bafakele iy'nsiza zokusebenza noma izulu lini abakwazi baqhubeke ukuze silisane nale poverty esibheke ngani ihloniphazi ndipovati nibe nishindlale sibuyela kule ye-tourism uyabona le nto ye-tourism iy'ngane esikoleni zifundile ziyenzile kodwa uzothola ukuthi kunenzele nje example angazi ukuthi niyahluleka ninalo yini uhle ngithe ngifuna uqala ngishaye ukuthi niyahluleka niyafika kuthini ngabe ninalo ni uhlelo lokuthi lezo ngane zonke ezenze i-tourism nithathe niyiqoqe niyibheke ukuthi lakhothina kunendawo la-Cape Town khona ukuthi abantu bahamba baya la ko-Table Mountain kanjalo bayobheka ulwandle ney'ntaba kanjalo kuthi nibathathe la bantwana nibafake kanjalo ko-KZN laba bantu bayibona le nto abayifundile nibaqoqe nibafake ngoba bona uqobo bangagcina sebeqasha abanye yabona kuyimanje ngangasho esimanga lathi siney'ngane la ey'fundile ey'netifiketi ezikwazi ukwenza ma-welding mhlawumbe kuthole ukuthi sibuya ngisho phakathi emtateni lapha koThekwini bibiziwe izolokhu zizolungisa imikhumbi umkhumbi le nto ngithi nenenithi ship ngesingisi kodwa ekugcineni labo bantu bazogcina besebenza under kwisikhondlakhondla esithize nakhona futhi abenza ukuqaqa mhlawumbe kuthiwa kushintshwa umshini othize mhlawumbe kade kunemayini mhlawumbe khona into ofuna ishintshwe lapho esindala kufanele bahambe balande benze nje amadoho abaqashwa permanent ikuphi la sobona khona iy'ngane zethu ey'fundile siyibona naziqashwa permanent kulezi khala ngale kokubhekwa kwebala okunye lana sihlalo sami khona into engiyithandile la mabeyibeka kodwa ningasho ukuthi ngiyayithanda ngoba ukukhuluma nokwenza mina into engiyifunayo uyabona lana masiphumela ngaphandle zonifanekisela nje uyabona uma ngiya khona indawo ibizwa ukuthi indwedwa bantu balapha barishi ngokomthetho ukuba banakiwe ngabe ayikho i-youth yonke mhlawumbe kade yenza i-agriculture ingabuyela back isiyolekelela thina nje lala komashi yonke lamalokishi aphakelwa ibek phakelwa indwedwe ngizothi be ngoba manje sengilangisazi akoda kuhambi kahle sengabe la bantu bayathathwa bahambe bayofundisa abantu kuthathwa ne-youth lehleli laphayana kwenziwa indlela ukuthi bakhiqize ngikhuluma lana othi uma ngabe utshale ile kuze uthango olulodwa olungaphakeli abantu bonke ukuthi aningena icabange nto baqoqe yonke leyo youth masikhuluma ngama-skills bakwazi Koma mbedun wagcina kukhulunywe ngomadumbe. Kuthiwa zokwenza amashiphi. Ngikhuluma ngeyindawo mina lana abantu abakhona. Bafundise nokuthi bahlangane nimanike nayi project. Ngicela lana nazi imkomo mhlawumbe ziwu 30, nazi imbuzi ziwu 30. Youth nanga umsebenzi wenu sifuna nifuye. Sizobuye siyithathe siyaphambi. Niyakwazi ni ukuthi nihlale no agriculture no. Ukuze silekelele le youth obe youth kuyimanje. Ingene idakamizweni. Nathi siyiphathe yabe yabona nje nale gama lithi sibabize ngamaphara. Akukho right as government because siyiphathe ukuthi laba yena obe izinto sigcina sizoyicula la ne parliament. Go art and culture. Siyayibona bakhona abantu abanamathalenta. Ngiyavuma lento yokuthi i-youth eningi ikhonze ukuthatha ifuni imisebenzi le mhlawumbe ezogqoka ama-average njenge-EFF yabo. Bafuna leyo kulokho. Nalaphi ifuna niyibize batakwethu nihlale phansi nayo. Batshele ukuthi lalelana. Ngeke ukuthi phela ngoba ufundile besuthi ufundele ukuthi uzokwenza lo msebenzi sifuna ubuye la uzo implementa ukuze ukwazi ukuthola imali ngoba nje basikhuluma ngomhlaba sifuna abalimi khona into le engizweni ithinta kancane ngiyabonga ukuthi mawuthi nile ophongolo although ngingabongi ngempela ngoba kumnandi ukuthi niyile but kodwa uzothola imali ya oversight thothi anzange kwayikho into eyenzekile into ibisenza leyo uyayibona lo nto mina bengiyojabula ngempela ukuthi ake senze especially niyabona ngigcwele thina abantu abamnyama manje. Akukhombise umehluko ukuthi sikhona. Khombise umehluko ukuthi ingane zethu phansi siyayithuthukisa. Sengigcina ngiyo. Ikhona into engiphatha kambe. Engizwe ikhuluma la nokuthi wafika kwesinye isikole. Nathola ukuthi leso sikole abanazo izinsiza. Wabazamela ngiyabonga and le nto kwamina nginayilonda nginezikole eziningi endoda what 19 othola ukuthi ingane azinalutho asinakwenhlobo kodwa imali ziyaphuma khona ekubeni leya youth siyayidinga ukuthi ifunde ukuze sikwazi ukuthi noma sifa thina ikhona iyouth ekhona ngiyacela sithandwa sami ukuthi next time nenze sho bayaqoqa laba bafundiswa ukuthi bahambe bayolima. Even labantu esesilahle ithemba ngabo. Umthetho uthi singalilahli ithemba. Uyabona kufana nayo yama-grant. Nomsobovu ngiyabonga. Mina ke ngikwazi kudala wena. Dala ngikwazi. Hayi uthi ngikwazela ububi. But ngiqonda ukuthi izinto yabosethukile. Yabona izinto la. Njengomsobovu. Umsobovu ngiyabonga mase nubonile ukuthi umsobovu into eyidlalela ngabantu mangabe senubonile nakwazi kubuya ukuthi no control sizohambisana ngoba la besimemezela kuze besihlungu le ndawo njoba sesithi phela siqala sibe member of parliament siqala ukusebenza phansi amfuna ukuthi bengenzani ngesikhatsini but besibaqoqa abantu sikhipha abantu memezani bazofika bomsobovu bahamba abantu ekugcineni bengatholi lutho even yona lento ezoma grant ogcwalisa umuntu abe nethemba ngiyacela and ngiyabonga mase nithi nina nani senubonginile ngoba zonke lezi zinto ezinye izinto ezigcina zisilashisa ngethemba njengoba nisenikuthina la thina la sifuna ukuba amafeyila ngoba siyakubantu abantu bayakwazi ukuthi nezinto esikhuluma ngazo besibheke ukuthi siyazenza yini na lalelani 2021 siyakuma elections sifuna ukuyina ukhetho. Asifuni siyaya lana kubantu, siyafika labantu basihubha bathi sikhuluma izinto engenzeki. Yiloo nto engidingayo ukuthi yenzani sure i-youth bantu bami kunzima. Nami kuney'kolo njengokunikeza zona, ozokhala kuzona. Asifuni ukubona i-youth kubalekelele kule nto ye-mechanic. Bahlanganiswe kuze kuthi ney'moto zika-government uqobo zithathwe inikezwe bona. Bakwazi ukukhanda bakusho ukuthi banawo ama-skills inkinga abanakiwe instead of that bahujwa amaphoyisa kuthiwa nenzani wa phela obvious bazontshontsha amanzi bantshontshe ugesi uyayibona loo nto asiboneni i-youth ithuthukiswa ngiyabonga
ngiyabonga kakhulu mam Khawula and I'm sure ukuthi njengabantu abathumekayo uzokwazi ukuthi one of the days mawuya endwedu bameme bahambe nawe ukuze bakwazi ukuthi uyibone ngempela lento abayikhulumayo ukuthi iyona yona. Bayasithembisa ke kodwa bona ukuthi bayabantu abathumekayo bazokwenza konke esesikushilo lana. I think briefly, Chairperson, I think we are taking what Umam Kaula has said. There are some specific questions that she has asked that will require questions as well as Honorable Umam Makau. But I think in your summary and wrapping up, can you also highlight to the committee the activities that you will be doing during the 16 days of activism, since this month we are launching a program, that 16 days on the 25th of November. If any, can you just take us through so that we'll be able as this committee to know what you are doing but also participate, because some of the work we're expecting to be happening in our constituencies. So as members, we want to be autonomous so that we can see and feel the difference that you are making. Honorable Lupiri, honorable members, I requested to be excused early because she's going to a meeting, but there's one question that she was requesting to ask, and that question speaks to the measures of the system to prevent double dipping from AMA grant recipients. Is there any way of looking into or having one system ka government that is able to pick up any applicants that are returning or also that have received funding from other government institutions? If you can just do that briefly, Chairperson, and just wrap up. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Chair. Indeed, most of the comments by honorable members were comments and advice to us, which we'll take. But probably, even before I respond to one or two questions, just to say, Chair, that I do believe that all of us around the room are in one way or another representatives of people and constituencies. And I think one of the things that we invite the portfolio committee to do is that in different constituencies of honorable members, that the NYDA is then available to come in and assist whatever youth-related issues in the different constituencies. And I think that's one thing that we want to put across. And across the board. The rural areas that we visit, Chair, are rural areas where we don't have presence. So those are the principles that we use. So where there's no NYDA office at close radius, we then target those areas. But what we've done as this board, we've targeted Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and Northwest, mostly as provinces that we target. Mpumalanga, we've been able to actually have more reach in terms of office space because of the good collaboration we've had with the provincial government. Free State, we've also had good relations in terms of the government. We're now finalizing the opening of all districts' offices there. But those areas, like we've been to Springbok in Northern Cape, where the border of Namibia is just here. And when we arrive there, young people will tell you that hey, we've actually been looking forward to such services. Kuruman, we've even opened an office in Kuruman. So not only have we gone there, we've actually left an office running. So these are the areas that we follow, and the criteria we use, Mama, is that areas where there's no close radius. So and we drive that from the board. What I've actually done with each and every board member is that we've sort of allocated them provinces to be able to concentrate on. For instance, Ms. Maimela would have gone to Northern Cape countless times. She would have gone to Limpopo, the former deputy chairperson, and so on and so on. So that's what we've been actually doing, spreading ourselves across the board. On the youth set-asides, we are the ones who have actually been advocating that all departments must have youth set aside, because we believe that youth issues cut across all departments. So it can't be NYDA sitting in a corner there that is responsible for everything youth. Remember, the Act actually says we must mainstream youth development across the board, and that is our job. In fact, where government are not doing this, we're the first ones to actually make noise. One of the things, by the way, we took a decision to say, we'll also have a CC relationship. We'll complement, but we'll contradict where it's necessary. Where issues of youth are not addressed, we're going to be the first ones to contradict, because we want to see those particular things happening. So we do support them. Chair, who do we consult when we reach in an area? It's a multi-governmental approach. So if we are in an area, we'll speak to the district via the mayor's office. We'll speak to that local municipality via the mayor's office. And then we'll obviously speak to the local councillor. We can never enter an area without speaking to the local councillor. But on top of that, Chair, the interesting point that Mamukaula Kulumayo, we have established a relationship, Namakos, to a point that we're actually been invited to the National House of Traditional Leaders as a partner to Amakos. Nesesamba sonke lenda wezi ngaphandle siyesi hlangane namakhosi. Ngiyacabanga ukuthi kasivele singene amakhosi angazi, especially kule ndawo esemakhaya. Kusasa Mamukaula, on Wednesday, ngiyohlangana ne-Department of Agriculture. I mentioned earlier that we are going to convene a session of youth in agriculture. One of the things we've done, Chair, when I was playing a role as the chairperson of BRICS, was that we are not going to serve in these international bodies and not derive any value out of them. So one of the last things we did when we visited Brazil is that the economy of Brazil is actually driven by agriculture. So agriculture is the main contributor, and with a population of over 300 million, there's a serious demand for, beef, poultry, pork, and so on. Now, one of the things that we did, in the next 2 weeks, there will be an Africa-Brazil summit. Now, what we've now done is that we've secured spaces for close to 20 young agricultural farmers to be able to have opportunity to supply meat and food to Brazil. So these are the things that we're actually doing as we move around, because we really want to push and stimulate the agricultural sector. And sizohlangana ke mama net department itself. And ngizoyikhuluma zonke le nto lezi bosu uyikhulumile about ukukhareja abantu abasha ukuthi balime baba ama farmers. Lastly, Chair, we are taking into account the issue of the youth in tourism. I think it's an important point. Probably we may need to also engage with the department, because there was a program that the department actually introduced to us where they want to recruit young people as tour guides, young people, particularly in the maritime sort of space, as an area of tourism. But I think it's one area that we're going to take, consolidate it, and make sure that there's a targeted program to ensure that we recruit those young people in the tourist space. But all in all, I think, Chair, the issue of 16 days, yearly, Chair, we're doing programs there. We'll support, but I do know that the department itself will be principally heading and spearheading, but we will be running programs, Chair, on 16 days. And then on double dipping, Chair, in the NYDA system, You can't double dip. So if you've given you a loan or a grant, the system is actually able to pick up. But I think just to address it, remember, some young people, they come looking for amounts above 250,000. We're able to assist on the startup phase, but we're able ourselves to refer them to IDC, to CIFA, and all other institutions, which we don't necessarily consider double dipping. We consider them multiple sources of funding to be able to ensure that young people succeed. Thank you very much.
Thank you once again, Chairperson. I think we will request for your plan that 16 days so that we'll be able to give support to it. The one that the department is doing is actually separate from the one that we are requesting from the NYDA. Thank you very much for your responses. DDG, do you have any...
Oh, labanda ba kanda yo tutba ba create the one gut ba kanda gut nina nizoba legele lanjan basanga ne ba kubeg na la ne emakanga yabong kuna lento le yo gut emakanga na le utunzo zeni tufunu tengu mshaba lakuko mapumu lokondo kuna mshaba nje lele nje ingenziwa lut gut nizelele ngalo liye bona labo bantu ne ba tutugisi angena le yo makene kamtana please.
Okay, Slalo, the last time we appeared, why do Zubaba the question? Sai Pendul. Uti Gune program as a Noki Chima Namapois. Last year, Sio Pega Bonke Lavandabasha about mechanic, Espatata, Espat recruit, Gule program. Start we finalize the MOU. So, that's why roll out. Kodwa sisi notile ke kutedebene iink ngasedeben so that sikwazi ukuthi sondele kulawo ma project kodwa into esoyicela nakhona njengoba bese ngishilo nesengiphendula ukuthi amalungo ahlokuniphenikile wala iParliament nawo mawasincedise masilekelele so that specific projects were able to go in there and actually assist kodwa ikhona nje lo program yomakhenikhi.
Okay, Chairperson has taken a keen interest on that program, so Zotela Mamkaulu would Masebuya, Masebebuya. We portfolio committee land the life, but reported Legaban a progress as a bay in Zil. No good in Sambi Bazo Figaranja Inc. So Game Sambi already in Joma Jebaj would sit on a partnership as he corner in Bazo in Kuta Inc. If I'm not mistaken.
Rabbi Inc. Pella, it takes long Pella, and the constraints are made to the young Janassa Montage. Kunindawo enkulu efuna vele nje ukuthuthukisa sebe nayo yonke into bafuna nina kuphela. Ngiyabonga.
Kuzoba njalo Mam Khawula. Yes, Honorable Mgweva, sesiyafana.
No thanks, Chair. I think we must note that there is an additional resources needed to the NYDA so that all these programs that has been presented or that has been touched by the honorables. Definitely, if the resources are very low, then it can't, the budget can't do everything as per the request of the honorables. So it's upon ourselves as this committee to agree on the additional resources to the board. Thank you, Chair.
Point taken, Honorable Mgweba. Yes. Over to you, DG. 2 minutes.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a few points, because this is obviously the NYDA is critical to the success of the Department of Women, Youth, Persons with Disability. The new department offers massive opportunities for synergy, which one, and I think we did present some of them in July as the department. But I think, you know, one of the issues that we always say about women, but the same is applicable to youth, is it's not an active charity. It's critical to our inclusive growth. So the more you invest in women and youth, the more you actually stimulate growth. So I think that's a central point. One of the synergies is that we have ensured that we put women, youth, and persons with disabilities at the center of the entire public policy cycle, the NTSF, you know, where the impact that we put there is a transformed, representative, inclusive economy which prioritizes women, youth, and persons with disability. We will also be doing joint analysis of all the new strategic plans of the national, we're starting with national departments, to analyze the extent to which they have indeed prioritized youth, women, and persons with disability in their plans and in their budgets. So that's a critical area. We also need to note that, you know, in addition to the work done by NYDA, there are a range of other departments that are making interventions around youth. And, you know, that's where we need to also ensure that that work is done. But also working with the private sector, the sector strategies that are driven by the economic cluster must make commitments on women, youth, and persons with disability. Even the investment summit, which is happening today. Yesterday we had a symposium with the minister and the deputy minister to look at what is the women's common position as we go into the investment summit, you know, so that it's not just business as usual. Our young women directorate works closely with NYDA and obviously with Dr. Hlangala's unit and working you know, on an integrated manner. Just finally, I think we would, did this come earlier, but we would, the minister has, as indicated, written to the speaker, written to the Minister of Finance, but we would also urge Parliament and the committee to use its own influence to really fast track this issue of the board, because it does, you know, there's been very good governance we've seen in NYDA, but we need to assist the NYDA to get a properly constituted board. And then finally, the issue of higher education institutions and GBV, critical issue. The department, we're working with higher education to ensure that every campus has a comprehensive strategy, because mental health issues are very closely linked to GBV. You know, young women tell us all the time, I sit with my rapist in the class. How does that affect a young woman who's supposed to be there to study? So you know, that's something that must be driven further. And then just finally, we did present the Beijing Plus 25 country report to the committee. So, and you know, we're more than willing to make further presentations in that regard. But thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, DDG. Colleagues, I think we've come to the end of the third item, which was the presentation from the NYDA. Let us formally thank you, CEO, and your team. And I think that relatively the portfolio committee is happy with the progress in the NYDA in terms of governance and all other matters concerning the running of a well-run machine, and we're really grateful for that. We should just encourage that you continue to do the good work that you're doing, and we really plead for you not to disappoint this committee. It is a breath of fresh air to receive the report, and we also understand that with the limited resources that you are having, we are able to stretch them throughout the country and ensure that the lives of young people are touched in a way that is going to ensure that they become responsible citizens of this country. So thank you very much for that, and we thank you as well. As we are happy to see the other members that we have not seen as this new committee of the sixth administration, and we'd really request and plead that as much as you have noted the cost containment measures, but we do encourage board members to attend portfolio committee meetings so that they hear firsthand what the members are saying. If only one of the board, in fact any other, you know, we have the CGE, and we always say that, you know, at least have two or three other members accompanying the chairperson, so that, you know, it makes easier when you're having your own meetings to reflect back on the discussions of the meeting. So we thank you very much for your attendance. Thank you, DDG and DOCA, for attending this meeting. And we do encourage you. We were very disappointed last week when the department gave us a no-show. And we request for the department to give the NYDA full support. And part of that support entails attending the portfolio committee meetings that the NYDA will be attending to present. And we, in fact, it's a must for us, for the department, to be present. Thank you very much. Colleagues, the letter was written on the 29th. It was sent on the 29th. But we are taking it upon ourselves as this team to make a follow-up to those members. It was sent to the Office of the Minister. It was sent to the Office of the Deputy Minister, and it was also sent to the NYDA, because part of the letter spoke to the non-attendance of the board members of the NYDA. So we will be making a follow-up as to where the letter was and why has it not been responded to. by the Office of the Minister and the DM. We can see that the NYDA is here. Thank you very much, members. I'm releasing the teams, and we've only got one item to deal with, and it's not going to take more than 5 minutes. Thank you. Oh, we'd also like to congratulate the chairperson of the NYDA on his civil union last month. I think it's a good example to the young people out there. We want to build strong, solid families. Yes, we should. We want that union, and it's an example. It's a good example to young people.
Bye-bye.
I think, yeah. Yeah, take it right from
mine. Copy of the minutes, right? Yes, just out of interest, because I'm curious, what are the thoughts of going paperless, and what's the feel of going paperless? Because all these papers, it's not very good for the environment, and everybody should have a laptop and an iPad to be able to read this. So what's the feeling from you, Chair? I get you,
Honourable Sharif, and I'm in total agreement with you, especially because sometimes these papers seem to, you know, become too much. But I think let us leave it as a committee for a discussion on another day, because I feel that some members really are having challenges with dealing with technology, but I'm sure that they'll be able to express themselves when given the time. But sometimes really these papers, they become too much. And I should encourage that as a committee, we use our gadgets that Parliament has provided us with. Honourable members, we have a set of minutes for the last meeting, which was on the 29th of October 2019, which was last Tuesday at M4 Mass Building. These minutes were circulated to our email, so we take them as read. Can I have a hand that moves for the adoption of the minutes? Honourable Mamason.
Thank you, Chairperson. I approve the minutes as true reflection of what transpired in the last meeting.
Thank you very much. Can I have a seconder, Honourable Kitty?
Chair, I second the minutes as a true reflection of the last meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mpiti. Colleagues, the minutes have been adopted, which was item number 4 of our agenda. Item number 5 is closure. I officially declare this meeting closed. Thank you very much for your participation.